FBI just announced that they're investigating Epstein's death as murder. It's all coming up. But first, what makes the globalists tick? Doesn't the world want to know what makes the powerful billionaires tick? Don't you want to know about who runs the global government and what their plans are for you and your family? What's their cosmology? What's their worldview? What makes them tick? And if you know the answer to that, well, you know the answer to everything.
Searing social critic Mr. Huxley 27 years ago wrote Brave New World, a novel that predicted that someday the entire world would live under a frightful dictatorship. Today, Mr. Huxley says that his fictional world of horror is probably just around the corner for all of us. Are the enemies of freedom here in the United States?
Well, I don't think you can say who in the United States. I don't think there are any sinister persons deliberately trying to rob people of their freedom. But I do think, first of all, that there are a number of impersonal forces which are pushing in the direction of less and less freedom. And I also think that there are a number of technological devices which anybody who wishes to use can use to accelerate this process of going away from freedom, of imposing control.
That's something they don't want you to even discuss or look at. But it's our mission to actually dig into who those people are. Turns out the most powerful consortium of parallel governments, what the group called it 13, 14 years ago when they did a PR push, they called it a parallel world government. That was Bill Gates called it that. And they were meeting in secret locations in New York and locations in New Mexico and locations in the Caribbean. And they were training larger groups outside of the central cult from there. And of course, you know that cult and its maitre d', its master of ceremonies, its hotel manager, as Jeffrey Epstein. And of course, then his girlfriend, whose father had formerly run that job for British intelligence and Israeli intelligence as well. And that's all come out in the news now. You know, I told you about it more than a decade ago, but Epstein was only one player in the larger house of cards that is coming down. And now we see Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, caught up in the spider web.
Going to Pizza Express in Woking is an unusual thing for me to do. I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat, or I didn't sweat at the time.
What do I really want to do here on air is I want to tell you about what's coming again in 10, 15, 20 years. Instead of just pointing out all the things I was dead on about, why don't we get into more and more here on the show? What's coming next? Because that's really what everybody wants to know. And, you know, I do know what's coming next.
When you look at a street light, what do you see? Municipalities see them as one of the largest portions of their energy costs. Streetlights are everywhere. So what if you take all those streetlights and make them hubs of smart technology while helping provide their communities with significant energy savings and a safer environment? What if you could add programmable street signs to reroute traffic or digital signage to announce events and advertise merchants? What about adding accent lighting or audio features to play music and make announcements or public safety options for important messages? All of these things are possible.
The Smart City Ecosystem Framework, a model for planning smart cities. Google tells us all about it. And then it ties to this, fears of 5G weapon system in UK after conspiracy theorist takes apart a light and shows people secret 5G, but still, he's the bad person.
It's nothing more than a weapon. Now, I know it's masquerading as a light, but it's a weapon.
Then I thought I'd show you the first known article exposing the 5G by name. 9 years ago, new streetlights do have Homeland Security applications. Infowars.com, Paul Joseph Watson. And I and Paul wrote that article back there 9 years ago. And now smart streetlights to track everything we do all the time. That's 6 years ago. And now a few years later, the sci-fi future of lamppost. Remember when Drudge linked to Paul's article 9 years ago? The media came out and said it wasn't true. We had made it up. Just like I made it up that Jeffrey Epstein was working for international intelligence agencies, blackmailing thousands of... I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
During this incredible age of information overload, deciphering, breaking down the forces of evil and the forces of good, contending over the destiny of humanity, InfoWars is the destination for those that want the truth and those that believe humanity deserves and has a fighting chance. It is Tuesday, November 19th, 2019. I am your host, Alex Jones. We have several very informative, important guests joining us today in studio. But before I get into that, let me lay out some of the incredibly important news. Now, 20 minutes before we went live, we had crew actually watching some of the congressional testimony in the Judiciary Committee. And boom, there was the admission that the FBI is conducting a criminal investigation of organized crime carrying out the murder of Jeffrey Epstein. So you talk about the collapse of an official narrative. This is spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. You've got all the pedophilia rings coming out. You've got the Queen's son implicated and connected to it. They're doing a limited hangout by diverting off into the 17-year-old woman, hoping everybody just stays focused on that. You've got globalism itself being exposed. It's an amazing time to be alive. We're going to be laying all of that out here. And no one has this video clip yet. We've been checking on Twitter. We've been checking on YouTube because it literally just happened, and it's hard to back up live streams when they're live. But we've been able to do it. So as we speak, they're cutting these clips out. Now, it turns out they're having a hearing on Epstein's death. Even though the hearing was about other matters, it's being brought up. This is big. And so we will have some of those clips for you by the next segment and then more throughout the hour. But it's ongoing. It's a Kit Daniels article that he hammered out very quickly. More is being added at InfoWars.com. FBI now treating Epstein's death as a criminal matter. FBI probing possible criminal enterprise. Those are quotes, says Bureau of Prisons Director, because she's being asked about his mysterious death in there. The FBI is now treating Jeffrey Epstein's death as a criminal matter, according to Bureau of Prisons Director Kathleen Hawk Sawyer. During a Judiciary Committee hearing today, Sawyer said the FBI is probably the possibility of criminal enterprise, close quote, involving the death of Epstein. Sawyer was responding to questions from Senator Lindsey Graham, who asked the FBI was probing both the possibilities of major malfunction and criminal enterprise attributed to Epstein's death. It's near the beginning of the hearing. We have the live hearing posted there, but we are grabbing it out right now. And now Zero Hedge, boom, has it as well. So good job, ZeroHedge.com. So that is all breaking right now at InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com, as well as ZeroHedge.com. And again, that's an ongoing hearing. We're getting the clips together. I was just right before the show, right before I went live, almost got late on air. In fact, I had to air that little special report that was still informative because I just wasn't ready to go on because I was in one of the studios looking at the raw footage, and it's spectacular because the whole House of Cards is literally coming down on this. There's a lot of fun stuff going on. Eric Swallowswell, who famously said that we'll be able to confiscate all semi-autos nationwide. He was Beto before Beto was the big, we'll confiscate your semi-autos, damn right we will, superstar, and got all the other Democrats to agree. Swallowswell, remember last year, said we'll use nuclear weapons on American gun owners. So that deserves to be revisited. But it's big news, what they're calling Fartgate. And he's now known as Eric Fartswell. And I got to tell you, you know, I like to have some juvenile fun occasionally. I like to have some fun occasionally, you know, with all this serious news. But it turns out scientific forensic evidence has been done with an infrared scan of Mr. Swalwell. But first, let's go to the raw footage of him on Fartball with Chris Fartswell, who's known for flatulating on air himself, famously. So there's a debate about, because it's a real-life feed, which one was firing cannons on air. Here it is.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
Now, you notice Kennedy's head went back into the left because he was shot in the front on the right. The bullets went out the back, so the back into the left. Well, now the forensic expert, you see him rise up and... Now, he's denied it happened, but it turns out it was on the live feed. And people are strategizing, is he lying or was it Chris Matthews? And it's become a big conspiracy. They're announcing that they're going to sue anyone that questions the official story that you did not hear a fart. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, but that's where things are now. I've got, what, 7 lawsuits against me right now for questioning official stories, which we should all do and we get lied to all the time. But don't question who farted. Was it Chris Matthews or Eric no longer swallows well, but Eric farts well? But let's get serious. We've got some forensic evidence here that shows exactly who did it. A major heat signature and gaseous signature from the man who threatened mushroom clouds on Americans if they didn't turn their guns in. Here it is.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from
Again, folks, that's not actually infrared. You'd have to have an infrared camera actually scanning heat to pick that up. That's a joke. I'm not trying to put off fake video. Like Carpe Noctem shows a Biden groping Biden in the media, CNN, and others said he put a fake video out of Biden groping Biden. No, that's called a joke. That's called a joke. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know there was already a Biden meme of it. No, Biden did not grope Swalwell. Okay, this crew is the best. They pulled that up within a half a second of me saying it. I don't know how they did that. That was magic. That was not pre-planned. Now we just tried to put a fake video out of Joe Biden smelling the fart. Oh, my gosh. Can we combine those two together? It'll be tonight. Dun, 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 ABC Nightly News. Alex Jones has done it again. A fake video. Joe Biden did not huff Eric Fartswell's gas. I've decided I'm going to go back to joking around on air. I used to do it. People liked it. And I don't want to say I'm depressed, but I'm sick of being so serious. It is a serious world. I'm going to be serious 90% of the time. Like I used to be. I was 10% of the time screwing around, and I'm going to have some fun. Before we get into all of the really serious news about the murder of Jeffrey Epstein and the FBI is now open to criminal investigation, that's up on Infowars.com. The video that nobody's got will exclusively be posted, I'm told, very, very quickly to Rob News Twitter, and we'll post it there. But if you want more comedy, document cam shot, please. Which one's real and which one's fake? ABC News, Justice Ginsburg admitted to hospital for routine emergency surgery. Mrs. Next Few Oral Arguments. Is that a real comedy headline? Or is it fake? Or is this fake? From Paul Joseph Watson at Infowars.com. South Dakota spends nearly $500,000 on anti-meth ad campaign with tagline, "Meth, we're on it." Woo! Meth, I'm on it. Meth, we're on it. Which one is real? Which one is fake? Can you imagine being so unself-aware? You put out an ABC News headline, Justice Ginsburg admitted to hospital for routine emergency surgery. Mrs. Next Few Oral Arguments. And she has totally reasonable stage 4 pancreatic cancer. She's going to live a long time. And then meth, South Dakota says, we're on it on road signs. Which one's real? We're breaking it all down. Infowars.com, Newswars.com, whatever you do, don't share those links. Roll over and die.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
We are living in a time of incredible change. And when you've been out at sea in a storm, you're thrown overboard, you toss, you turn, and if you're blessed enough to make it to shore, when you're going over those reefs and rocks in the first sand, you might cut your knees up, you might be confused, you might be nauseous, but at least you've made it to land. And I see that as the process humanity's going through. We can give up hope now that all these skeletons in the closet are coming out, now that we're learning just how corrupt and evil the establishment has become. It's depressing, but it was already going on. At least we know it's there now, like a cancer that can be removed. And that's not a good process. It's not a fun process, but there's still time to reverse the situation. Knowing is literally half the battle. Now, we have the story up on Infowars.com, and as far as I know, because we look for it, we have the exclusive video. More of it is coming. FBI now investigating Epstein's death for signs of criminal enterprise. Bureau of Prisons director says FBI now treating Epstein's mysterious death as a criminal matter. Very, very important. U.S. charges two jail guards over Jeffrey Epstein death. That, of course, is broken. We're going to be getting to all of it, but here is the segment where the head of the Bureau of Prisons, Lindsey Graham, is questioning, gets into this. Here's the director, Catherine Hawk Sawyer. Here it is.
I wanted to talk about the death of Mr. Epstein. Do you concur with the opinion that it was a suicide?
That was the finding of the coroner, sir.
Okay. Do you have any evidence to suggest otherwise?
I do not.
How could this have happened?
Unfortunately, sir, the death and the whole situation is still under the investigation of the FBI and the Inspector General's office, and I'm really not at liberty to discuss specifics of this case. I can discuss issues around institutional operations, but I can't specifically talk about that particular issue.
Okay. With a case this high profile, there's got to be either major malfunction of the system or a criminal enterprise at foot to allow this to happen. So are you looking at both? Is the FBI looking at both?
If the FBI is involved, then they are looking at criminal enterprise, yes.
Do we have people in custody today of this high-profile nature? Have we done anything to adjust since Mr. Epstein's death?
Sir, we take every inmate's life very seriously in the Bureau of Prisons. A high-profile inmate is no more important or significant in terms of our operations than just the average inmate that comes our way.
What do you mean high-profile? Somebody's on a suicide watch.
I would like to explain our suicide watch system, if I may. I can't talk specifically about Epstein, but we have different tiers of response if we identify an inmate who appears to be have suicidal thinking. And I came into the Bureau as a psychologist. I've worked with lots of suicidal inmates. I was warden at our psychiatric facility in Butner, and I know how difficult it is to always be able to predict who is suicidal and who is not. But once an inmate is identified as potentially suicidal, we have a suicide watch operation that we can place them in. It's a very stark, very difficult setting where everything is stripped from the room except a mattress. They get a coarse gown like to wear that cannot be twisted in any way that they could hang themselves from it. They have one mattress and one blanket, and they are watched constantly. There's nothing else in that room.
Was Mr. Epstein on suicide watch?
Yes, he was. However, the average time on suicide watch is only about 24 hours because it is such a stark and actually depressing situation. We then can move them to another tier of observation, which is called psychological observation.
Did that happen in this case?
I can't speak specifically, but I am sharing this with you so that you understand our procedure, sir.
All right, and more coming on that. But, we think it's a suicide because that's the official story. We never want to throw others under the bus, but we're looking at it as a criminal enterprise, and two jail guards have been charged in association with that. So we'll be looking at that more later in this hour and the next hour. And we're going to have more of those clips for you. That is posted at Infowars.com. FBI now investigating Epstein's death as a criminal enterprise, says the director of the Bureau of Prisons. Now, let's get back to what I was covering last segment, since we're in the whole comedy vein here. Swalwell is on television. He rises up. Sounds like there's a large amount of gas released. And then it's confirmed that was indeed on the live feed. So was it Chris Matthews or was it him? And I'm simply saying, whether it's something silly like this or babies in incubators to start the Iraq war that Saddam bashed the brains out of, which didn't happen, it's our right and our duty to question all of this. But Swalwell has gotten very sanctimonious. I got a call last night, I don't know, right after Hardball ended, from Millie Weaver, and she said, have you seen this? And she sent me a link to it on Twitter. It had 10,000 views. In 5 minutes, it had 300,000 views. Then there were hundreds of versions of it this morning with millions of views apiece. I mean, just everywhere. This has gone totally viral. And the jokes, the way people are riffing like jazz off of it, calling him Fartwell, saying it's the clearest thing he's ever said, it's the most honest thing he's ever said. I mean, the jokes are incredible. I spent about an hour last night, an hour I'll never get back, looking at all the jokes. And this morning, my phone was ringing. Dozens of people were sending it to me. It's just funny how I can capture somebody's imagination, because it's not just hot air coming out of Swalwell, or Eric Fartwell, as he's now known. It's that if you question him, they get so upset, they get so sanctimonious. But for me, and for others, it brings up the fact that this is a man. I can read the quote here. There's an article on Infowars.com that quotes it by Tom Papert from NationalFile.com, where he's the guy that threatened to nuke gun owners if they didn't turn their guns in. He went further than Beto. He didn't say, I'll just come to your door and confiscate them. He said, we'll use nuclear weapons on you. So I want to speak to that later, because it's a very important issue. Not that he made that threat. That's important, showing his mindset. But the fact that the U.S. had thousands of nuclear weapons and couldn't beat the Vietnamese because they wouldn't give up. And you don't use nuclear weapons to kill armies. You kill them to wipe out entire populations or damage infrastructure or foreign militaries. You do it to wipe out civilization. And if they try to take the guns, that's what it'll do. But it won't be nukes that are getting dropped. It'll be a civil war that levels the leftist parasite establishment. And once it starts, if it does, no mercy can be shown to these individuals. They're going to have to be totally routed out. And I don't want to go down that road. But if they keep pushing it with their pedophilic avarice, that's where this whole thing is headed. Now, I said I'd get to it this segment, but I ran out of time. When we come back, which story's true and which is false? Did South Dakota really say meth were on it? It's an article on Infowars.com. Find out. Or did ABC News really say Justice Ginsburg's admitted to hospital for routine emergency surgery, missed his next few oral arguments? We'll hit that, I promise, right when we come out, and then all the other news that I haven't even begun to scratch the surface on. But it's fair to say the house of cards that's Jeffrey Epstein and the blackmail pedophile rings hasn't just fallen. It's fallen and knocked a giant hole in the entire power structure's ship of lies. I'm Alex Jones, NewsWars.com. Please spread that link, NewsWars.com, NewsWars.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Thing I've noticed about really evil people is that they are what I call tone deaf to how things they do come across. And they may be really, really cunning when it comes to doing evil, corrupt things and conning people that are stupid. And they can also tend to be extremely, extremely bold. And because normal people aren't seeking out power and control, we tend to just advocate the authority and step down and give it to them. Now, I'm not saying that whoever came up with this PR anti-drug campaign in South Dakota is evil, but they're either extremely autistic or so sociopathic that they don't even have a sense of humor and they don't have depth that you would find in a shallow rain puddle. But you see this where the establishment does things that anybody who's conscious would tell them isn't going to go over well. Like Hillary Clinton looks like a jack-o'-lantern demon. Her face is scarier than the headless horseman's, the pumpkin he's got in his hand, jack-o'-lantern-esque. But she does that shark face and that weird, crazy smile everywhere in person, and people actually are scared of her, and there's a mass Stockholm syndrome where her followers deep down know she's a vicious, warmongering, child molester-supporting criminal. But then you have to ask the question, why do all these leftists then follow her? Because they believe she's the big, tough mommy that could get things done. I was in an airport about to fly out to L.A. in August when Jeffrey Epstein was announced dead, and we walked on the plane. I shot a video in the plane before they closed the cabin door, and I heard a whole bunch of leftist men and women couples, most of them middle-aged, go, "We're glad she killed him. That shows the world we're tough. Better than Trump. He'd never have the will to kill somebody like that." And I talked about that at the time. Those people didn't realize what they sounded like. But really, it was because they were so weak and so soft, like Hillary, that they project this power. So other weak, empty people then pick up on that and say, well, if this sack of garbage that can hardly walk has got half the world scared of her, well, then she must be powerful and I must be powerful. So they're basically birds of a feather fly together. Now, we've talked a lot about Brian Stelter. In almost every photo of Brian Stelter that he officially releases through CNN as a public relations photo, he looks like an abject demon. Let's do a wide shot, please. I mean, zoom in on that and then show people that photo in HD. That is the look of a homicidal child molester or rapist, in my view. I'm not saying he actually does it, but let me tell you, when kids are getting raped, that's the type of face they see. That's just a fact. That is the face of the demon. Now, would you buy a car from him? Would you let him babysit your young son or daughter? Would you marry him? No, you'd run from him. And then, of course, the book cover matches the interior. He's an anti-free speech, anti-American, anti-gun, anti-Christian, anti-God piece of filth. But he, in hundreds of publicity photos, releases photos where he looks like a psychotic killer. I mean, that's a Halloween mask right there. That's a predator that's so into himself that he doesn't see what he is. Because to him, it is a mask. There's no smiling. There's no happiness. There's nothing but avarice and self-loathing that he's projecting out. I mean, that is a sack of garbage right there. Look at that. I mean, just hundreds. I'm fascinated with him because so many of these globalists, you watch a CFR meeting, they all act like that. They all smile and they all creep around. Everybody hates them. Women hate them. Society hates them. That's why they like putting fluoride in your water and giving you deadly vaccines and running your life, because that gives them that little added secret you don't know that they're really wrecking your life. Because, yes, he's a sack of garbage turned over to Satan, but he's putting poison in your water so he gets the last laugh. He's coming for you. Now, let me get back to what I was covering. The reason this is so important is I saw this yesterday on InfoWars.com in the afternoon, and I thought it must have been a joke. I didn't think it was serious. And then last night, I looked at it and I said, oh, my God, is this real? I said, Paul Watson doesn't write satire articles. And sure enough, it was real. And then I began to go to the site, the state website of South Dakota, and I began to look at dozens of ads they put out. The first one is the symbol of the state, a rectangle, like a cow udder hanging off the back. And it says, meth, we're on it. So that's kind of the meth titty right there. You know, the hind tit hanging off right there. We take down the cube, you can see it. So that's like a big breast full of yellow meth. They even made the state yellow, I guess, like meth is, or some types of meth. So meth, we're on it. Looks like a diseased mammary gland filled with poisonous methamphetamine. Now, it gets better. These are, look at this. Meth, we're on it, football players. Meth, I'm on it, a black guy at a coffee shop. Meth, I'm on it. Meth, we're on it. Now, how did this get approved? Who didn't see what it was? And then how did it get passed down by government? Everyone too scared that saw it to say, this is an insane idea. You know, I've tried to find out. We don't know yet. Whoever the director of PR for the anti-drug campaign, the state's money, I guarantee you came up with this. And they didn't want to tell he or she, hey, this is a terrible idea and is the most unintentional comedy in the universe. But it's an example of how when you get an up-down power structure, too, no one will... Is this who came up with it? Okay, I'm going to find out more during the break. Okay, well, then we'll find it. You guys found it. We'll come back and tell you more. So this person is either seriously autistic, in my view, or there's the funniest comedian ever, but it's not a joke. Now, so meth we're on it is a real campaign. Not speed kills. Meth will destroy your life. Losers use meth. You go to prison if you use meth. No, meth, we're on it. Meth, I'm on it. Now, there's the old cowboy, the old guy. You wouldn't think he's on meth. He doesn't have meth mouth, but, you know, meth, he's on it. And it goes on and on. There's a problem in South Dakota, and we all need to get on it. Because together we can get meth out of here, I guess. By if you use it all up, yeah, there won't be any left in the state. So this had to be done on purpose. It's a sick joke. That's another thing these psychos will do. Some of them don't have any humor. Others do. It's always a sick form of it. But it shows the total disconnect that this was. And, oh, I forgot. Last night, the news was defending it. It was like, well, this is a controversial ad campaign that's turning heads. Is it bad? Does it make sense? The fact that we have to have a discussion, like, is CNN right that men can have babies? No, CNN's not right. And they're just trying to get you to accept that if there's peer pressure, you better let men in your girls' showers. And you better, you know, when the man shows up and he wants a pap smear done to his cervix, you better give him one, even though he doesn't have a vagina. It's all part of them training you in a cult to accept whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. So that's that. And that's where we stand as a civilization. That's where we stand as a society. And it's very, very dangerous. And it's only getting worse. Because is this a sign of plunging IQs, a sign of mass mental illness? We know that people don't have attention spans anymore. Every metric shows humanity's in crisis. And admitting that is going to lead us out of it. Admitting we have a problem, finding out what the problem is, and how to reverse it is key to our species. Let's do it together. It's not work. It's called survival. You are the resistance.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Colors here a little bit. Brian's watching. That impressed Brian. Look at him over there. Imagine being that creature. Imagine what his mission is. Take down America. Launch operations. Create post-human world. Exterminate Homo sapiens. Make way. All right, we are back. Let me finish up with this because it is really a window into the mind of bureaucracy and yes men. South Dakota governor. We don't know who came up with the meth, we're on it as the new state motto. South Dakota governor doubles down on bizarre anti-drug campaign targeting meth, where it shows groups of people saying, we're on it, and others individually saying, I'm on it. And, of course, they're not backing down. They're defending it. Ladies and gentlemen, those articles are up on InfoWars.com right now. Meth, we're on it. South Dakota's anti-meth campaign raises eyebrows. Well, don't ask questions. Government just said that. Now, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg story is not true. Justice Ginsburg admitted to hospital for routine emergency surgery, misses next few oral arguments. That's because they keep saying, oh, she's in great health. She just had 3 or 4 surgeries this year. It's pancreatic cancer that most people only live about 4 months. 98% die within 1 year. But if you question that, you're a conspiracy theorist. But that is a joke meme. The thing on South Carolina is not, ladies and gentlemen, and that's just par for the course. But if you believe that men can have babies, well, then you believe that saying meth we're on it means that you're on the problem. Of course, it turns out the DARE program and things in the 1980s and early 90s actually caused people to get on drugs. Because they come in and advertise it and tell you how to use it. And turns out the leftist-controlled CIA was shipping it in and put out the crack cocaine recipe. Doesn't mean the whole government did that, but that's what went on. That's declassified. Just like they put fluoride in our water to lower our IQs and give us cancer. Just like the vaccines are spiked on record. Cancer viruses and so many other things. There's an agenda to dumb us down by the scientific elite that's international. And have international treaties through the UN. And they're working against America, and they use the compartmentalization and the magnitude of the crimes they're committing against us. To hope that it's so huge, we just can't even believe it or don't even know how to tackle it. When really, there is a post-human, anti-human agenda going on. What's running it? The devil? Aliens? Whatever you think's running it, that's the agenda. You can't deny that. You can't deny fluoride's put in the water to brain damage you and lower fertility, and it does, massively. You can't deny that 5G massively grows cancers. You just pull that up. It's all admitted in major studies. You can't deny that GMO is leaking RNA and DNA into our cells and causing cancer and mutations. You can't deny any of this. You can't deny it's being deployed and done by design. You can't deny that they're dumbing people down through the educational system and that you can read it in government documents and WikiLeaks that they admit they're doing it. You can't deny there's a program to break up the family. You can't deny any of it, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a fact and it's going on. Guys, can I have my folder over there on DNA Force, please? I forgot to put that back on my desk. And I need that, please. I want to plug DNA Force right now, and then I'm going to get back into the news. But speaking of the subject that I was just covering, here's the governor of South Dakota defending the meth we're on it campaign.
Solutions and hope, and how every single one of us in South Dakota can partner to be on meth. Really, the tagline is, I'm on meth. And what it's talking about is that each one of us, no matter who we are, that we're on the case of meth, that we're protecting our family, we're protecting our friends, we're protecting our communities from this epidemic that we see, and that we're all going to be taking some responsibility and battling it and making sure that it's not going to have a place here in our state in the future.
So, I left it in the other studio last night. I did all of Owen's show yesterday, so it'll just be in there. Thank you. That is a shocking video, isn't it? Way more shocking than Swallowswell farting on national television. Was a big one, though. And even lifts up, you know, to get it out of there. Because she's saying the same slogan over and over again is a sick joke. I'm on meth, you're on meth. This shows we're on meth together. Always doubling down, never saying it was a bad idea. That's how from the top, guaranteed people said, this is a terrible idea. But whoever was on top said, no, we're going ahead with it. I didn't even know this video existed of the governor 20 minutes ago when I first started talking about this on air. I said, but you know somebody up top doubled down and said, no, we're going ahead with this. A national campaign, I guess, is all that could outdo this, of saying America's on meth. Then people complain, they just double down and say, no. It's a good campaign. But it really shows the pig-headedness and the insanity of these individuals. Now, we have a guest scheduled to be in studio next hour, and I'll tell you about that guest once they're here. But it's a really, really big subject, and it ties into everything we're talking about. So that's coming up. Let me first, though, just tell you about DNA Force Plus. DNA Force Plus is something that could save this country and could save the planet. And that's not an exaggeration. That's really true. If people take action and expose globalism and its anti-human agenda, then we'll be able to really change the world together in a big, big way. So that's just on its face. And buying this product funds our operation and makes our operation possible. So if this was full of sawdust, it would be a really great thing to fund our operation. It's not. DNA Force Plus has the PQQ and the CoQ10 in it, of the very best types you can find out there, with a lot of other things that Mother Nature has produced that are known to help it get past the blood-brain barrier and into your cells. And PQQ is certified in legions of studies to help regrow mitochondria and make the cells last and live longer. And it's known to make telomeres in the DNA last longer and not divide as fast. So they don't grow telomeres. They just make the telomeres not shrink as fast, which is the same thing from another direction. And then it's got these other known ingredients in it that are just incredible. You talk about skin health, heart health, brain health, every cell in your body. And it's the Japanese that over a decade ago discovered this, and it's the number one product. PQQ and CoQ10 together are the number one thing in Japan. They are the longest-lived people in the world for any large industrialized nation. And now it's all the rage here. We brought you DNA Force Plus, I guess it was about 5.5 years ago, and said it was the next big thing, and it is. And it really deserves to be the next big thing, and now it's being adopted all over. But if you go to the store, you'll see little bitty bottles of CoQ10 or PQQ for $30, $40, $50. A lot of it's synthetic. It's not high quality. And it's overpriced. You get a big bottle of this. And if you try to get something similar to this at a lot of what they call medical clinics that are called clinical class, they still mark it up 5 to 7 times. So it's $300, $400. Then they mark it down to $200. And because your doctor's selling it to you, it's not prescription, but you still pay it. If you get this at its regular price of $140, it's a great deal. But at half price, it's $74 right now. And when we first came out with this, it was costing us $50-something a bottle. I signed a 2-year contract. It made it even stronger, got a better deal on it. So it's not costing us that much, that bottle. But it's still costing close to that. And you're not going to get PQQ and CoQ10 with these other ingredients at this level, anywhere near this price anywhere. And other places you buy it are globalist or New World Order and are funding, going for your guns, going for your family, trying to destroy our sovereignty. So getting your PQQ and your CoQ10 and these other great products that are in one pill from us is a total no-brainer 360 win. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Again, 888-253-3139. And just commit to get DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com today, and we can continue to operate and hopefully expand in the face of the globalists who are working around the clock to shut us down. We'll be back with hour number two. Please stay with us. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, the video's posted up on InfoWars.com. FBI now treating Epstein's death as a criminal matter. That's right. If you're receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. FBI now treating Epstein's death as a criminal matter. They have the video of that congressional testimony, and the House of Cards is coming down very, very quickly. But the system striking back and persecuting people, especially pro-lifers, in unprecedented ways. And David Knight's going to be in studio with me next segment to lay it out. But there is a lot of good news happening, and Prince Andrew is a big part of that house of cards coming down.
Creepiest portion of the Duke of York, Prince Andrew's recent Wall of Denial TV interview was his strange response when asked if he had any regrets for having known international sex trafficking pimp Jeffrey Epstein.
You said you went to break up the relationship, and yet you stayed at that New York mansion several days. I'm wondering how long...
But I was doing a number of other things while I was there.
But you were staying at the house of a convicted sex offender.
It was a convenient place to stay. I've gone through this in my mind so many times. At the end of the day, with the benefit of all the hindsight that one could have, it was definitely the wrong thing to do. But at the time, I felt it was the honourable and right thing to do. I had to go and see him.
I had to stay with him and stay in the house.
I could easily have gone and stayed somewhere else. But sheer convenience of being able to get a hold of the man was in and out all over the place. So getting him in one place for a period of time to actually have a long enough conversation to say, look, these are the reasons why I'm not going to. And that happened on the walk.
Other than that admission, Prince Andrew had an answer for everything concerning his alleged illegal relationship with Epstein's sex slave, Virginia Roberts, seemingly scripted and well-rehearsed in order to curb the Epstein embarrassment plaguing Buckingham Palace.
Prince Andrew says that on the night of March the 10th, he couldn't have been dancing and having sex with a teenager because he was in suburban Woking, taking his daughter Beatrice to a party here at Pizza Express.
I'd taken Beatrice to a Pizza Express in Woking for a party at, sort of 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And then because the Duchess was away, we have a simple rule in the family that when one's away, the other one's there. I was on terminal leave at the time from the Royal Navy, so therefore I was at home.
Why would you remember that so specifically? Why would you remember a Pizza Express birthday and being at home?
Because going to Pizza Express in Woking is an unusual thing for me to do. A very unusual thing for me to do. I've only been to Woking a couple of times, and I remember it weirdly distinctly. But as soon as somebody reminded me of it, I went, oh, yes, I remember that.
Isn't it odd how Andrew's story changed? Early on, when everything broke, he never denied at least knowing Roberts, and now...
I have no recollection of ever meeting this lady.
And then there's the sweat claim.
Virginia Jouffray says on their first encounter, she and Prince Andrew danced at Tramp nightclub. She recalls him being a hideous dancer and sweating profusely.
She was very specific about that night. Mm. She described dancing with you and you profusely sweating and that she went on to have a bath, possibly...
There's a slight problem with the sweating because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat, or I didn't sweat at the time, and that was... Oh, actually, yes. I didn't sweat at the time because I had suffered what I would describe as an overdose of adrenaline in the Falklands War when I was shot at, and I simply... It was almost impossible for me to sweat.
Regardless, many photos of a sweaty Prince Andrew prove otherwise. Prince Andrew did reveal at least one thing from his interview. It would be that him and his fellow elite scumbags that deny all wrongdoing from high places continue to be virtually impenetrable.
Do you think that photo has been faked?
Nobody can prove... whether or not...
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
Let me think. Just let me think.
I suspect even now orders are being shouted into telephones and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth.
77.
And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice. intolerance, a depression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others. They will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
Is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar. And ladies and gentlemen, we are live into the second hour, and our co-host, David Knight, who hosts the David Knight Show weekday mornings, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., is with me. I was watching his show yesterday, and it was so informative going into what's happened in Texas and what's happened in California and other areas where the judiciary is going after activists that go into these laboratories and these Planned Parenthood facilities that are selling baby parts and promising to sell people live babies. And we've seen the governor of Virginia talk about keeping babies alive to keep them comfortable and then harvesting their organs. We'll be talking about that next segment, because there was a ruling last week by a particular judge, the one that continues to try to overturn Trump, saying that exposing this is the criminal action. And so we're really seeing judicial tyranny, really bipartisanly. A lot of Republican judges have done it as well. The judiciary truly, in many cases, has become a dangerous tyranny. It was our forebears talked about the out-of-control judiciary of King George III, one of the reasons we went to war in 1776, and we are rapidly approaching that point. One can just look at the ongoing kangaroo public hearings. The third round are now public, but still highly controlled, happening where no evidence of any crimes being brought forward. But everybody felt like what the president did was bad. But David, great to have you here with us. I wanted to get into just this current history we're in and what you would call this period, because a lot of people I know get frustrated. They get upset with the president and with the Justice Department not taking action against the censorship, against the racketeering, against the organized abuse of nationalists and Christians and others, really precursors like we saw in the Soviet Union, people being persecuted, mm-hmm. that were Christian or nationalist, or in the lead up to Hitler and the things that he did. It all started the way it's starting now in Germany in 1933, 34, 35, and in the old Soviet Union in 1917, 18, 20, 21, 22. Took them a few years to get going as well. I mean, we know what this is. It's classical tyranny. What would you call this period?
I would say that it is a weaponization of the legal system. And this is a strategy that Democrats have adopted across the board, not just against President Trump, but against whistleblowers everywhere. Because right after the election, you had Obama and Eric Holder talk about how they were going to have a number of lawsuits that were going to challenge basically redistricting, gerrymandering, which is something that has been there from the very beginning. The party in power in the state gets to draw the jurisdictional lines. But what they've not been able to accomplish and win at the ballot box, Alex, they have decided that they're going to do in the courtroom. And that's really what they're doing with President Trump as well. And so we see them weaponizing the judicial system across the board, with these impeachment proceedings. But the same thing is happening at every different level. If they don't like you politically, they will come after you to destroy you, whether it's Roger Stone or whether it's these whistleblowers who are doing legitimate journalistic investigation, undercover investigation. This is a violation now of not only the First Amendment, but there were many, many violations in this particular trial in California. It came out the same day, later in the same day as the Roger Stone verdict. This was something that was a trial that was going on for 6 weeks, and they took very little time to decide.
And what came out of the trial was they were advertising to Stanford, we can deliver whole babies with beating hearts.
Yeah.
That means living babies. They declare them dead and then said that they're not resuscitated, meaning we don't count them as a legal human via the bioethics board. But the babies are being kept alive. Just incredible things. And this judge presided over this macabre to then turn it around. We're going to hit that next segment. And this is something I really don't do a good enough job of. Just this morning, we've got a big high-powered D.C. lawyer here. And I can't get into what's going on there. But, you know, they filed over 30 lawsuits against this operation.
Mm-hmm.
They did all of these things, and those are ongoing court battles. And I've talked to all these different law firms, and they say in these cases in Austin and in Virginia and in Connecticut, they have, and in San Francisco, the same judge that just did this ruling had one of our cases, and I'm not going to get into what happened, but let me tell you, it was unbelievable. And they just tell you up front what they're going to do to you. And Judge Jackson laughed from the bench at everybody and was cackling like an actual witch and snorting. This was in the news.
Yeah, Rogers trial.
Cackling and snorting. And so people say, well, we better shut up and give in to him. No, everybody better get politically active and double down. We're not backing down. And I can't get into strategy. I have ways, as long as I don't die or get put in prison, and I even have ways there, where they're not going to shut down this operation, okay? But it takes a lot of money. And so that's another reason I wanted to get David on. When you hear all the things with this case, remember, I can't get into my cases at this point for strategic reasons. But again, never before seen by the law firms I've got. And I've had other ones look at it. And this is beyond railroading, okay? But again, that's where we are. Our forebears had to die to give us this country. We're going through a lot of hell, and that may happen too. So people better decide which side they're on. But capitulating to this is a fate worse than death, and I'd rather die on my feet than die 1,000 deaths on my knees licking boots in a ditch. But when you spread the word about the broadcast, when you buy the products, when you pray for us, when you do all of those things, it keeps us in the game to the absolute enragement of the globalists. So thank you all for your support. But remember, what you're about to hear from David is also happening to us. It's happening to Project Veritas. This is a war.
Yeah, and we can see it at the upper level with President Trump. When he comes in and he says, well, I'm going to put restrictions on people coming in from countries that Obama has gone to war with, for example. They say, well, that's a Muslim ban, and we're going to stop it. All it takes is one federal judge now, we assume, that it just takes one federal judge to blackball any policy from the president. And, of course, when he had those seven countries, Venezuela is not Muslim, and neither is North Korea, but they called it a Muslim ban. That left five Muslim countries, but there's 50 Muslim countries. So he restricted travel from 10% of the Muslim countries. They called it a Muslim ban. They can do anything they want, Alex, because the strategy that they've taken, both with the president and then with any individual journalists or whistleblowers or any other organizations, they use the criminal justice system. And I talked about that yesterday. I said it's kind of like the scene from Breaking Bad where one of the guys is in trouble. And the guy says, you need a criminal lawyer. And he says, I got a criminal lawyer. And he goes, no, I mean a criminal lawyer. Well, we've got a criminal justice system because they're not bound by any law. They make up the law. They write the law, whether we're talking about marriage or we're talking about abortion. I mean, this is just one of these issues. Whenever they can't win in the ballot box or they can't win in public opinion, they just mandate this, and they rig the system as they see fit. And so that's just one of the many aspects that we're seeing here. And the fact that this is about taking innocent life is just icing on the cake.
Well, that's right. They've really crossed the big, indelible red line here that it came out in the case, which is incredible, keeping babies alive, harvesting their organs, and the judge then viciously, civilly convicts the heroes. Wow. Well, that judge will face God. He'll face the real judge.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I could have
We are back live broadcasting worldwide, and the social engineers want to train us not to appreciate human life. They want to train us not to defend each other. They want to train us to not take care of our young. And any species that's taught to hate itself and taught to not stick together and taught to target its young and to kill its young is a species that will not be around very long. Look at some of these headlines. Stem Cell Express CEO admits selling baby beating hearts intact baby heads in the pretrial hearing. This was a few months ago in San Francisco. Here's another one. Selling baby scalps. The ghastly practices of Planned Parenthood. This has got quotes out of the court. Body part buyers were scalping the babies. Planned Parenthood trial reveals. And then, of course, your big report on Infowars.com. Planned Parenthood judge punishes baby parts whistleblower and the folks that exposed it. So let's get into this and this ruling and what she's done to these heroes.
Yeah, you know, Alex, what you were just talking about there, if we allow this to happen to the most innocent among us, I mean, we look at what's going on with China. It's we've had testimony after testimony from whistleblowers in China who have escaped some of these facilities or have witnessed this. They're doing live organ harvesting from adults. And if we don't support innocent life, this is going to be done to all of us. It's not just the babies. Those, you know, we're not superior to them in any way, shape, or form. And what happened on Friday, Alex, was, again, it was a trial that lasted for about 6 weeks. The jury took absolutely no time to arrive at a verdict, just like they didn't with Roger Stone, because the verdict was already booked in, cooked into what the judge had done there. They put a $2.3 million fine against the people who had blown the whistle about this, what I would call murder for hire and trafficking in baby parts, against the people, Center for Medical Progress, David Leiden, and those who did the reporting. They did this under the RICO statute. That's the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization statute. That, by the way, has been used against other pro-life people in the past. Very famously, in the 1990s, you had a pastor, perhaps you're familiar with him, Randy Alcorn. He's written a lot of books. He, over a period of 9 months, over a period of 12 months, rather, he appeared nine times at an abortion clinic. They blocked the doors in peaceful civil disobedience to talk to people who were having abortions. They charged him with racketeering, influence corrupt organizations. They got an $8.2 million judgment against him. And even though he was a very successful author, he decided that he wasn't going to pay them a dime. And so he lived off of what the court would allow him, a minimal amount of money. He did it for 20 years until the judgment expired. Even though he had big, big hits, I mean, he's written books, fiction books, novels. He did one about the underground Christian church in China, Safely Home. He wrote a book about heaven, which was very big a few years ago. And so he made a lot of money, but he didn't give a single dime to Planned Parenthood, because Planned Parenthood is a racketeering organization, and you can see it from these undercover videos. What's really amazing about this, Alex, is the irregularities in this trial. This judge was a bundler for Obama, and he was given a judgeship there. He was also, however, very specific to this case, a conflict of interest. He was a founder of an abortion clinic in Northern California. And so, of course, that's a major conflict of interest. The defense attorneys tried to get him removed. He didn't have the integrity to remove himself. And the judicial system did not have the integrity to remove him either. They covered up for him, and they let him preside over this case. And he also then, Alex, told the jurors that the investigators were guilty because they had trespassed. He said, there's no question that they trespassed. They're guilty.
So if you trespass to save a woman tied up who's about to have her organs harvested, he would say, it's okay, they killed the woman, they trespassed. No, that's not how whistleblowing works. It's not, you know, let's say you broke in your neighbor's house because the guy was killing his wife. You wouldn't be trespassed. That's in law, that if there's extenuating circumstances,
right,
they were showing what is admitted to be illegal. That's why the Democrat Party-run states like California, Virginia, New York, and other areas are passing laws to keep babies alive and kill them. If the bioethics board says the mother didn't want it, They call that not resuscitating. The heart's still beating. The baby's alive. They're just passing the baby into another world, saying we choose to say it's not a human. Yeah. That's bioethics.
That's right. And when we talk about trespassing, I mean, this was not a protest that these people were doing. They had an appointment. They were invited in to talk to these people about business, you know, the business of baby body parts. And so, but this judge blocked the jury from seeing these videos.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They made appointments. They were invited in about the prospect of buying baby parts,
that's
which
right.
they ended up could have doing. So it wasn't even a fraud, but they invited them in. Still, the judge, so it wasn't even trespassing. Fraud on top of fraud.
Yeah. It wasn't a trespass.
To protect a bunch of people trying to sell baby parts.
And I think that, you know, clearly we understand because we've watched these videos. We know that if the jury had seen this, they would have seen these people saying, hey, I want a Lamborghini. You know, I want to, yeah, let's do this. I can get exactly what you need. You didn't do the full head? We can do the full head.
Want a beating heart?
Yeah, exactly. You want a beating heart? And that was one of the key things as well. You know, he was saying, well, they didn't have any reason to investigate this. In 2000, you had Congress investigating that. Actually, you had 2020. ABC did an expose about a Planned Parenthood clinic that was in Kansas, and that clinic was selling baby parts. And then in 2012, there was also Stem Express was saying that they were using fetal hearts, and they were using fetal hearts that needed to be taken from babies that were still alive. And so because of all of these different things, they had a reason to do an investigative report. And so this wasn't under false pretenses. They weren't inventing a crime. I mean,
that's
we've
right.
seen
the judge is saying there's no reason to investigate and you're not journalist. In fact, they're in court cases against me, they're trying to argue in court, oh, he doesn't have protections under the law of a journalist. We say Jones isn't. Well, once they do that, they can strip everyone of that as well.
That's right. That's right.
What they're doing is they're stripping America's rights that people fought and died for, including, say, imagine 30 years ago if you heard people would be getting multi-million-dollar judgments against them for calling up and saying, I want to buy live babies. Oh, come on down. We've got them for you. And then you're the bad guy. That's America today in the blue cities, which have become abodes of evil. The Bible talks about wicked places, wicked areas where the evil congregate. They take over the cities, mm-hmm. And then they do whatever they want. Imagine the crime going on in San Francisco. If we know about this, 24,000 reports of human feces, they think that about 1 out of 100 gets reported, tens of thousands of needles, tens of thousands of assaults. Why are these places, when we come back, David, sinking into hell, on fire, collapsing? Why everywhere that evil abodes do you see this?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is San Francisco, of course. And the Planned Parenthood Council actually lied in court and said that they knew about this stuff and they didn't file a police report. They actually did. But, of course, it's San Francisco and the police don't care.
You know, that has a new meaning on Mark Twain. The coldest winter I ever spent was the summer in San Francisco. It's really cold-blooded. Yeah. It's cold-hearted, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alex Jones, investigative journalist and host of the David Knight Show. David Knight's in studio with us. Find a show 8 a.m. weekdays. Aborted babies incinerated to heat UK hospitals. Soylent Green, ladies and gentlemen, is made out of people.
But now children are literally being passed through the furnace in order to fuel hospitals in the UK. They're being sacrificed on the altar of efficiency and prosperity.
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
The powdered flesh from dead babies. Some people believe they can cure disease.
Because of its enormous popularity, Soylent Green is in short supply. Remember, Tuesday is Soylent Green Day.
The supply of Soylent Green has been exhausted. You must evacuate the area.
Today is Tuesday!
The federal court ruled that the shareholders of PepsiCo, big Bilderberg Group company, are not allowed to know what they're using the baby parts for in the flavoring, but we already know. So enjoy the flavor.
We're going to get the real solution, which is going to be a combination of death panels and sales taxes.
I'm consistently pro-death. I'm for assisted suicide. I'm for regular suicide. I'm for whatever gets the freeway moving.
Is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-up in medical costs. But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
They told me to say that they were sorry, but that you had become unreliable.
Is this the kind of society that you want to live in? Any kind of society that would do this to its children will do it to its senior citizens. It will do it to its dissidents. That kind of society will also eventually turn on its police, on its army, on its prison guards, on the Quislings and the collaborators who make that possible. This is nothing but a suicide cult.
The scoops are on their way. The scoops are on their way. I repeat, the scoops are on their way.
You will find out why Soylent Green means life. You will find out why Soylent Green means death.
We've got to stop them!
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
Soylent Green is people!
You've got to warn them.
And tell them. They'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You've got to tell them.
We're being taught to have a collapsed civilization. We're going to go back to the latest on the baby part farms all over America and how different judicial tyrants are trying to persecute people, hoping everybody else gets scared and runs the other direction. Well, folks aren't mad at Trump because they've been persecuted for supporting him. Folks are mad because Trump hasn't taken action yet against this tyranny, but it's not too late for that to happen, and things take time, so I still have faith, but we need to put pressure on them. Just want to tell the listeners that DNA Force Plus is not made out of people. It's made out of CoQ10 and PQQ, and I was looking to really re-push this flagship product and went back and researched what's in it again and why it's so important. There are certified mainline studies on CoQ10 that it's known to be able to regrow or re-liven, reactivate heart tissue that dies in heart attacks. It's still there, but doesn't work anymore. It makes it work again. Look that up. Hell, let me just show you some of the studies instead of just saying that. I mean, I've gone over this. You need to look at this for yourself. And then it's got all these other great ingredients in it. Organic reishi, astragalus, membranous root extract, ELEV, ATP, and so much more. And it's of the organically derived type. Now, I want to explain what that means. A lot of PQQ and CoQ10 is synthetic. Doesn't work the same. None of the places it's extracted is really organic. They have modified bacteria produce it. It's very expensive to get. Tens of thousands of dollars a kilo just for the PQQ. Okay? And the PQQ has been proven. You can say that it makes telomeres last longer. It regrows the insides of cells, the mitochondria, including in brain tissue. You really need to go research it. Infowarstore.com. Go read the thousands of five-star reviews. This is the highest quality you're going to find anywhere. Everybody owes it to themselves and their families to get it. Similar formulas are sold in medical facilities, not by prescription, but by the doctors, with 5 to 7 times markup for $300-$400. This is a great deal at $130, but it's a really good deal at $74 right now. It is 50% off and free shipping. DNA Force Plus, InfoWarsStore.com. Now, we have other products, you know, that are a lot lower price, that are high quality, because it doesn't have the huge cost of PQQ and CoQ10, the other things. This is a very good dose of it, synergistically. And if everybody gets it, everybody needs to take it, at least one pill a day. This is as close to the fountain of youth as you're going to get. And then it funds the InfoWar total 360 win. And then separately, this new toothpaste is not designed to compete with Super Blue for adults and children. It has colloidal silver, and it has iodine in it. It's fluoride-free, and it doesn't have any fillers in it. This is nano silver, silver saw, patented whitening toothpaste that also has above C coral calcium that remineralizes the teeth. And I got to tell you, I have been rushing with this, and it's amazing. It's apples and oranges with the Super Blue. Super Blue, on average, when we have it on sale, is about half the cost of this, because it costs a lot less to make Super Blue. That said, though, this has a lot of patented ingredients in it, and you're not going to find a better toothpaste out there. It's on sale right now. It's normally $19.95. It's $14.95 right now. A lot of folks are getting it. I want to know what your reviews of are. I am very, very proud of it, and it simply is the best toothpaste I've ever used. It cleans your teeth while it strengthens them. It knocks out the viruses, the bacteria that cause gingivitis, and does so much more. You know about all the infections in teeth that get into your heart, ventricles, and the rest of it. That is a big deal. So get your Super Silver today. Help clean up the planet from the globalist scourge while you clean your teeth and gums. Super Silver at InfoWarsStore.com. We still have free shipping right now and double Patriot points as well. Okay, David, for this segment and the next, we played that intro from 6 years ago.
Yeah.
That Darren McBreen put together from you and I talking on the show about the UK saying, we're heating the hospitals with baby bodies. That's done to dehumanize. That's done to not have sanctity of life so we don't stand up for each other. It's very, very simple.
Yeah. And you want to look at what happened with the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, when he said, well, we just set the baby over on the side and we keep it comfortable. You know, America was outraged about that, Alex, because they didn't understand what was going on. They didn't know that
explain
this was
to them,
common.
David.
Well, going back, I've talked to fellow McAleer several times. And, of course, he put together with another author, they put together the book about Kermit Gosnell, who went to prison because he killed a couple of babies. One of them he bragged about, he was so big he could have walked to the bus station and so forth. And a lady died under his care. That triggered a law here in Texas where they said, well, you got to be able to get emergency gurneys through the hallways to the patients in case something goes wrong. Again, you know, there was a long, tortured process through the legal system, shut that down. But going back to what happened to the baby, during the trial, and of course, I had Philip on to talk about the book and then to talk about the movie that came out. He said the key thing that happened in the trial that really surprised everybody, you had to be supportive of abortion to be able to be a juror. They were not going to make it about abortion. But when they had people who were just fine with abortion, as they had an abortionist talking about the difference between what Gosnell did and what they did, she described what comfort care was. And it was what Ralph Northam is talking about. And this is something that has been happening in several states. The idea that if the baby survives their attempts to kill it, they can take this baby and set it over to the side and let it die a natural death. And they call that comfort care.
And they're using that to expand it now and keep them alive while the orders come in for the organs. Because if they butcher them on the spot, little 7 pounds of meat, as they want us to think of them, dehumanized, then the prices might not be fully there because they don't last more than a few hours on ice, seen as fresh, as the Chi-Coms advertise their people's organs as well. But if they can keep them alive a few days, then they can get $300,000, $400,000 for the organs, not $50,000.
And that was the thing that absolutely blew these jurors away. They had no idea that was happening, just like the American people had no idea that was happening until Ralph
Stay there. That's important. Let's talk about where juries really got to hear what happened, even though they were all pro-abortion. They changed their mind versus this latest ruling going after whistleblowers and valiant heroes. David Knight's our guest. This is critical info. Please get this out to everyone you know. The babies deserve it. They're hoping for us to stand up to them. Remember.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Remember how far we've come together exposing evil and corruption. And so when things seem bleak, 10 years ago, most people thought the Federal Reserve was federal. People didn't know about globalism or the New World Order. They didn't know they were keeping babies alive and selling their body parts. People didn't know about the pedophile rings. They thought that was crazy. 25 years ago, I thought Ted Gunderson was nuts. Everything he said, it turned out, was true in triplicate. Man, I wish I could interview him again now. I mean, I knew he was for real years later. It was just amazing. And he was just such a patriot. Gave up everything he had to fight these Satanists and so much more. And now they're externalizing the method. They're mainlining it. Let's play that clip of the governor when he's not in blackface or dressed up in the KKK outfits, talking about how they keep the baby comfortable. They make the decision. The mother doesn't want to resuscitate. And then they keep it comfortable. People go, you don't resuscitate. You just keep it comfortable. Well, resuscitate would mean start the lungs, start the heart, perform a defibrillation, perform mouth to mouth, hit the chest, trigger the electrochemical ganglia in the top of the heart, to get the heart beating again. So why do you then, she makes the decision not to resuscitate, so we keep baby comfortable. And used to, they'd go, it's not a baby. But now, because of all of the high-powered electro systems and all of the ultrasound 3D imaging, they go, yeah, it's a baby. So what? You're right. Mm-hmm. So more and more, they have all these TV shows and movies where they brag, yeah, we're going to kill those little suckers. We love bullying them. All these women they have as comics on Comedy Central that get literally, you know, half a star rating because it's not funny, brag about, I hate those little babies. I like killing them. They fight. And they actually, babies fight when the scalpel's cutting them up or they're dumping acid on them. They struggle. They fight. And these people just revel in the open Satanism, just like the man dressed as a demon clown ripping the baby out of his stomach. And then they tell us, call him a woman or we'll arrest you in multiple jurisdictions. This is the insanity. They're projecting their mental illness, their Satanism being poured out on us. We make the decision. She don't want baby. So it baby don't resuscitate. We keep it comfortable. Now, that's a bioethics board. Notice he says, we don't want to get the government involved. I'm a libertarian now. Because the government would say that was premeditated murder once it leaves the womb under Roe v. Wade. But see, they're expanding with mission creep now. Case for killing granny. Hire 10 teachers. Well, damn, kill grandma. I'm going to get some money. They're selling everyone on this new death economy that is about collapsing, about scavenging, about being carnivores of our own species, about being cannibals. Instead of expanding an economy based on justice and freedom and scales of economy, it's a economy of looting, of conquest, where we now keep baby comfortable. Here it is.
Hey, bro, I can tell you. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. Mm. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So,
and he goes on to say, we don't want the state involved. He means the law of we the people. He goes on to say, a physician with another one. There need to usually be another physician. So, see, now we've gone from kill them before they're out of the womb. Now kill them when they're out of the womb. And don't get the state involved. Just me and another doctor decide. That's the bioethics board is now down to two executioners.
And when the Gosnell jury heard that, that was going on.
Recap that jury for people. Tell me the case again.
Again, you know, that was the situation where we had a couple of kids that were killed by Kermit Gosnell. He had jars filled with baby parts. You should see the movie because that's a central part of the movie. The movie was done as a courtroom drama. They didn't revel in gruesome videos or anything. But the thing that was key about that was the fact that people didn't understand that was happening. And people didn't understand that was happening when Ralph Northam said that. They're so out of touch with the American people. Think about what they just did to Tulsi Gabbard. She said, I believe that abortion ought to be safe, legal, and rare. That was the position of the Democrat Party a few years ago. But in 2012, they took out the word rare. They don't want it to be rare anymore. They want it to be safe, legal, and paid by taxpayers.
And ubiquitous.
And she was savaged by the Democrats for even saying that it ought to be rare. I don't think
for not lovingly approving and going, woo, I love it. That's they were feminists. I killed my baby. That's right. You bet it's a baby. And I killed that little son of a bitch, especially boy babies, because we don't need more men. That's major feminist publications are kill your male baby. And if he's born, then take him in for a sex change and chop that penis off because we're liberal. We're not psychotics or anything.
Yeah.
We just want to chop those male genitals off.
And as out of touch as extreme as they are, and out of touch with the American people, and quite frankly, if the American people embrace this, we don't stand a chance as a country anyway. But as far out of touch, they still are out of touch with the mainstream America. How do they get this done, Alex? It's through the judiciary. How do we fight this judicial tyranny? This is something that we can look at it and we can say, look, Andrew Jackson told the Supreme Court, you made your decision. Let's see you enforce it. He understood there was a division of power. We need to have a president who understands
that. Who stands up to it. Instead, if there's a hearing going on, and then he says, you know, I have a right to free speech. They go, you're threatening me. And they go, that's another charge. And Fox News, Chris Wallace and Brett Baer go, he just got another charge against him. That president opened his mouth and said he was innocent. How, you've ever heard of such a crime, Knight?
Yeah, exactly.
Keep your mouth shut, President. The courts rule you.
Yeah, and this is also something, Alex, that could be done by governors, for example, right? We've had, in the past, we've had Texas governors.
Oh, I want to see our governor, who I think is a good guy overall, do more.
Yeah.
I mean,
we had Rick Perry send the Texas Rangers down to the border to help protect the border. I mean, why isn't Governor Abbott doing that? But let's talk about you and I. What can people do?
That's right. That's right. I'm done waiting for Trump.
Right.
We got Trump in, okay?
Right.
And if he can't haul our bacon, hey, that's fine. He's better than Hillary. What are we going to do? Let's start getting in that mindset. These babies are counting on us. What are we going to do? Because here's the good news. Major polls that even try to skew them. Upwards of 70%. Of Generation Z is now anti-abortion. So the millennials, on average, a lot of great ones, are demons. But something's happening with Z and others. And so despite all the imprisonment and all the persecution, we're winning the fight to save these babies intellectually. That's why they're pushing, trying to move the Overton window into open human sacrifice and saying, no, 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 we're going to kill them after they're born, because they know we're pushing the window back to sanity.
That's right. When you look at, if you're involved in as a juror in one of these situations where they're coming after the First Amendment, they're coming after journalism and saying, you're not a legitimate journalist, we don't recognize you as a journalist, so we're going to take away your First Amendment rights or whatever. They're using it to persecute people politically, to create a process crime, or they're perverting justice like they did in this San Francisco case. What do you do? You need to understand the purpose of juries, because the judge is going to lie to you just like this judge lied to this jury.
We need jury nullification. Despite the fact they tried to rig the Kermit Gazelle operation, that didn't work because they were able to hear about the grisliness. But in the case of San Francisco, 100% a inversion of justice.
That's right. A judge will tell you, if you go in there as a jury, he'll tell you, you're not to judge the law. You're not to judge how severely these people are going
to
be punished.
You are to do what I say. No, you judge the facts and the law. It's in the Constitution. If you think somebody violated the law, but the law was wrong, they were in the right. Let's say kill a, Mockingbird's a great example, or other fictional cases, but they're real cases.
Alcohol prohibition all the time. Yeah, or you can take the very seminal case.
Yeah, the family's going to lose their farm, and then they're making moonshine. And they're selling that, and you don't want to send them to prison for 20 years apiece busting rocks because you bought some of that moonshine from another moonshiner. You think it's hypocritical when you take the moonshine? Well, you nullify that, and you send them home back to their farm.
The very first case was the case of William Penn, and it was clearly against the law. They were not allowed to have a church meeting if it wasn't the Church of England. And so they arrested William Penn and the Quakers. And
Stay with us a little bit, and then we're going to get our next guest on at about 15 after. I'm sure he'll be fine with that. I should have been telling people it's a pretty hot guest right now. He's a pretty well-spoken individual, Nick Fuentes. I don't agree with some of the things he said. Some of his humor I disagree with, but I agree with First Amendment. And so he's going to be on with us as well. And I want to get your take on that case before we get to him. So we're going to come right back, David, and have you finish up on William Penn and just this whole situation. But it's judicial tyranny. A lot of folks say, well, Alex, you better back off if they're suing you in key jurisdictions and have it rigged. Listen, I'm winning the information war thanks to you. And at the end of the day, I'll still have my voice. And we'll still be here on air if you financially support us. And I'm not going to lay all this out right now, but you've seen what we've done in the past. You've seen what we've pulled off against the globalists. We are going to get even stronger. And you're going to just wake up one day and there's going to be whole new things that you never even knew about that we were behind. I won't own them. I won't control them. But the globalists had better fear them. I need money now. Fill the war chest, your war chest, InfoWarsStore.com. Get great products you need and fund the Second American Revolution's final leg. I need victory. So do you.
We want your soul. We want your soul. We want your soul.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Tell us your habits, your fads, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size.
All right, continuing here. I was interrupting you. There's just so many angles to this, David Knight. The judicial tyranny to crush independent pro-America, pro-common sense media. The attempts to arrest all these wonderful whistleblowers and put them in prison. We forget, but they've tried to put in prison multiple times. They've indicted multiple times Project Veritas. And I'm not saying, I'm a victim whining. I'm saying we're the tip of the spear. We're under a massive sustained attack. This is very, very, very real. And so you cannot put your prayers and your word of mouth and your money behind an organization that is fearlessly taking the globalist on. We just want to be able, with your support, hit them with full power.
Yeah, and when we look at this, how do we stop this judicial tyranny? I mean, you know, the way the government was designed, we had a separation of powers within Washington. We had a separation of powers between Washington and the states, because that was exactly what the anti-federalists was concerned about. They said, look, this is going to become consolidated. It's going to become hierarchical. The concern that I have is that the judiciary is going to be at the top, and they're going to be, setting everything. And that's actually what has happened.
Oh, yeah. So bipartisanly now, they're engaged in an arrogant takeover.
Yeah.
They know
yeah.
they are. It's very conscious.
Yes, that's right. And the problem that we have is that even though President Trump is appointing judges, he's only appointed about a quarter of them, and that's good. But how do you know that these judges aren't going to turn? Because we see that over and over again. When they appoint liberal judges, they're reliably statist. And yet when we get a conservative, so many times, half the time or more, they become some of the worst judges because they are government bureaucrats at the core of what they are. So how do we control this, Alex?
That's right. They're selecting. I'm interrupting. They're selecting from people that are already proven little monsters.
That's right. Sorry. What we have to do is we have to understand that we have power, just like the president has the power to say no, just like a governor has the power to say no.
Another check and balance on judicial tyranny is the grand jury, the investigative grand jury, and the jury. And what you're saying is they've drummed that out of us. Juries are supposed to checkmate out-of-control judges.
If you don't understand what your rights are before you go to court, the judge is going to lie to you, just like this judge in San Francisco. He told the jury, he said, you're not here to judge innocence or guilt. I'm telling you they're guilty. You're here to set the penalty here. And in many cases, the judge will say, you're not here to judge the law or how it's going to be applied or whatever. You're just going to be the fact finder here. That's not what juries are for. Now, don't tell them this when you go into court. Don't even tell it to your fellow jurors when you're doing deliberation. You tell them that you're concerned, you don't believe this evidence or whatever. That's the key, to take back that power. Just as we see these executives and other people bowing down before the Supreme Court or others and saying, we will do whatever you say, we are doing that at the jury
that's
level,
right,
because we're
right.
following everything they tell us to do.
I want to talk about this when we come back, and then get Nick Fuentes on at 15 after. We did an hour and a half with him yesterday. It was pretty powerful, and he's been under a lot of attack for things he said. Regardless of what he said, Michelle Malkin shouldn't be fired from her job as a conservative media person because she said he has free speech. So I get David's take on that next segment. But I'm going to get into something really important when we come back. And I'm not going to say this is a stunt. I'm not going to say this to act cool. It's actually, embarrassing that I did this some when I was a teenager. But last time I did, I was about 14. But you know the game playing chicken where you put cigarettes down between your arms? It's a real dirtball biker thing.
No, I never did.
Yeah, well, I mean, I won some big bets with, like, you know, convicts and stuff, like 25-year-old, thugs and stuff that thought they could do it. And then it went to lighters.
Wow.
Like in the stupid movie where one of the lethal weapons, the guy's supposedly tough, so he can put a lighter on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
I could take a blowtorch to my arm and sit there and ignore the pain.
Wow.
But I'm thinking about I'm thinking about doing it as a stunt with a blowtorch, not in a self-harming thing, just to show people what will is. It's one thing to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a blowtorch to my arm, I think next week on air, show people what will is. I'll do 60 seconds. Okay, I'm a blowtorch. I'm going to burn a hole in about an inch deep in my arm to the bone because I want to show people what will is, and I'm going to explain about will on the other side right here. Because if you won't do that, folks, you'll never stand up for the unborn children. Imagine what they go through. We'll be right back. But I'm going to explain the blowtorch analogy when we come back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
I'm not into pain, and I don't like to dish out pain. But I was thinking about G. Gordon Liddy, who ate a rat in prison, and reportedly he did do it. That would be harder than the putting the lighter to his arm for a minute and burning himself in front of people to show him how tough he was. But I did end up kind of running the federal prison just for doing that. But we had some of those stunts when I was in high school. I did have some trashy friends who had trashy older brothers that were, you know, ex-convicts and stuff. Kind of got away from those guys by the time I was about 15. I didn't hang out with them a lot, but it's called chicken where you put a cigar or a cigarette between your arms. And then next it goes to lighters and things like that, betting.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Russian roulette stuff. It's really stupid. And, of course, I couldn't really do that today. They'd say, oh, Jones is self-harming. If the left wants to go and, you know, they have stuff where they get shot with guns and stuff seen as artwork or cut their arms and legs off. They're called nuggets. Then they're kept in diapers in little boxes. Mexico has legalized this. There's whole communities of, quote, gay men that chop their arms and legs off. You've heard of dumping Drano in your own eyes and then being trans-abled. This is all the mental illness. But I was thinking, because I'm not into self-harming, I was just being honest about a story I never told. Hell, I got some scars I can show you. That imagine a message to Trump. And, of course, I won't be able to do this now because they'll have the messages out to block it and make sure it doesn't go viral. But if I did it unannounced, it would go viral. Kind of like the Joe Rogan podcast this year. That's the biggest podcast he's ever done, the biggest in history. Over 50 million views total now. I talked to Joe just a while back. He goes, no, it's the biggest one I ever did. He set it on air. But that's why I can't come back on because some of it's the biggest. But if I sat there with a blowtorch and an acetylene torch and turned it on, and then had a doctor here and said, this is all scientific. I'm not self-harming. I'm doing this as a medical experiment. I said, Trump, here's my message to you. It's easier to put this blowtorch to my arm and it starts cooking and bubbling and burning than it is to sit here and watch you put up with the censorship and sit up on this show and watch the Justice Department let everybody engage in all this criminal activity and bullying the American people. Because I was thinking of this last night. If I had to pick up a hot plate, say fell on one of my kids and I had to hold a hot red hot deal, I could do it for a while if I had to. I could force myself to hold it and go past the pain and just cut the pain off and ignore it. It's a mind trick because I've done similar things before and I'm not trying to act tough. I've done it I'll probably prove it. If I check legally and I can do it, I'm going to do it because I don't want my ex-wife using that in court or something to take the kids away because it's a scientific demonstration. Okay. But that's what it's like. I like Trump. I like the fact he's fighting Hillary. But it's like I'm sitting here with an acetylene torch to my ass, and I'm not going to do this, folks. I was just joking. All that was theater. That was a fictional discussion there. It was a hypothetical. So that's where this society's gone. That's where this society's going, where letting the deep state do all this persecution, seeing babies kept alive and their organs being harvested, seeing pedophiles all over the news saying we're going to have access to your children, we are grooming them, we are taking over civilization. That's like sitting in a hot burning plate or being put, you know, in a cartoon in one of those bubbling cauldrons with pygmies dancing around cooking us. It's very hard to sit here and take it. So as much as I'm glad Trump got in and he got us out of the TPP and did some other good things, more and more it seems like the swamp's winning and the inaction of the head of the Justice Department, you know, saying, oh, we've never seen the deep state wage war on a president or the executive. They're sabotaging America. It's criminal. Well, then it's criminal if you don't do something. And so that's why I tell the, allegory of the blowtorch is that I have no desire to put a blowtorch to my arm. And I have no desire to sit here and keep taking this. I know we have to beat the globalists, but why won't the executive branch take action?
Well, and that's the thing. We have to understand, just as the people, you know, the people who refused to convict William Penn, with him when he obviously broke the law that said that you can't have a church other than our official church. When they let him free, the judge threw them in jail. And they stayed in jail until they said, well, show us the law that we broke. And so they established habeas corpus. They also established jury nullification. We need to understand, first of all, that there are transcending principles that we got to stand for. That's what those jurors understood. Secondly, just like the founders of this country, they have to understand that it is worth it, whatever the price we pay. And so we know that we're going to be punished if we oppose power, if we speak truth to power. Julian Assange, they just came back and said, well, we just dropped the charges in Sweden. I've seen this over and over again from cases that I've reported, cases where you've had people railroaded by kangaroo courts. You had trumped up charges against Ross Ulbricht. He ran a website. They wanted to shut it down because it was a commerce that was out of their control, Silk Road. So they said, well, he's got murder for hire. They pulled up those charges, but they never actually took him to trial.
It's more process crap.
They dropped those charges, Alex. The judge
when he convicted him for running the website, gave him three consecutive life sentences and cited the fact you did murder for hire. They never found him guilty of that. They never even tried him for that. And as soon as they put that judgment on him, that judge just let that go. We see that over and over again. And so people,
let's be clear. There's no crime, but you're guilty of the conspiracy to commit crimes.
That's right.
Which didn't exist. I saw this in the Davidian case. The judge gave him 50-something years in jail. They were all innocent, hadn't pulled triggers. The court admitted that. They were found not guilty on the weapons charges, but they were found guilty of using weapons in the conspiracy to commit murder. And the appeals court just basically let that happen. I mean, think about
that. Well, they did to Schaefer Cox, too. They came up with all the crime and said, well, you did this, and then there's a conspiracy charge. They eventually dropped the core allegations, but they kept the conspiracy charge and put him in jail for that. So we see this type of thing happening over and over again. We have to understand these principles. You know, the thing we're talking about with William Penn, that's not ancient history. That was human nature, and that's why we have the Constitution. People were very well aware of how power could be abused, and now that is happening again. But we don't understand because we don't remember history, because we have our kids being indoctrinated by the school system. We don't understand what's at stake, and we got people who are too comfortable to stand up to this.
Beautifully said. And again, I go back to the acetylene torch parable, which I've never done that with acetylene torch, but I did when I was like 14, hanging around with some bad guys, you know, his brothers were older motorcycle gang people. It was like, oh, yeah, you know, and I'd sit there and did it. My dad was like, what the hell have you done? Don't ever do that again. But a few times I did it and beat them, letting a whole cigarette burn down on your arm or whatever. And that's what this is like, sitting here taking this for supporting Trump and supporting America. And I'm willing to do it. But that's the paradox of why people are so angry.
That's right.
At Trump and at Barr, yeah, we know. And the more crimes they commit and the more kangaroo events and the more we personally get persecuted, I don't feel sorry for myself. I want to fight. I want to see some action. I'm willing to take the heat, man, but I want the heat delivered back.
And why do we have a double legal system? Why do we have Hillary, Comey says that she committed multiple felonies, but we're not going to do anything. Instead, we lock up Christian Saucier, a sailor on a submarine who takes a picture of his bunk. He goes to jail for over a year.
Let's go further. On a 40-something-year-old submarine that was found in a trash heap. Something's going on there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they throw the book at him.
Yeah, exactly. Now, President Trump pardoned him to clear his record, but he'd already served the time. But how do we have people like Hillary Clinton who violated national security, the religion of the state? All of our liberties and the Constitution have to be sacrificed on the altar of national security. But Hillary Clinton can't be even looked at.
That's because she's part of that ruling guild in the 60s.
That's
a
right.
whole class got in of communists. Who the CIA and British intelligence put in, and the Clintons are both MI6 and CIA. They were brought into the Rothschild roundtable groups. This is all admitted now. She was in Time Life books in high school. We have a copy. A listener sent it to us. It's somewhere here. I've shown it like 10 times on air or more. It said, this woman will be the president of the United States one day.
Yeah.
That's why they're pissed, because it's their project.
Well, look at what they can do in terms of the whistleblower. You will not speak his name. I mean, I said it.
And they're all a bunch of chicken-necked, not well-spoken. They all have trouble walking. They're all just pathetic.
Yeah.
But they're our ruling class because they're... I don't want to call these men effeminate because they're not effeminate. They're weak men. It's an insult to women to call these men effeminate. They're perverts is what they are. It's a guild of perverts.
Well,
I'm telling you, they're almost all pedophiles. And notice that's all coming out.
You know, we
like
Schiff's, about
almost all his friends are pedophiles. The lawyer for the whistleblower, he just loves to promote people that are pedophiles and defend them.
We talk about people being afraid of the system, being afraid to take a stand. They're afraid to say Eric Chiramella or Eric CIA Ramella. They're afraid to say that on Fox News. They could even say, look.
Well, I'm afraid of bowing to them.
Yeah.
So I tell them I only fear God, not them, and I pray for justice to come upon them. David Knight, amazing job. 8 a.m. weekdays. This guy gets ready for 4 hours before the most researched show out there. David Knight. folks. Nick Fuentes joins us. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Coming up, Paul Joseph Watson is going to be hosting the fourth hour today as well. NicholasJFuentes.com. Okay, the reason I wanted to get this fellow back on, he was on a few weeks ago. He was on the War Room for an hour and a half or almost 2 hours yesterday, is that regardless of what you think about this guy, he has a First Amendment. And Turning Point USA and all these other Republican organizations have been coming out and trying to censor who can come and ask questions at their event. So Fuentes got mad about this a few months ago, and he started going to these events. I'm not going to play all the clips here. And they would have the police, they would have security waiting on him. I have a couple other articles here where other Republican groups are now calling the police on other people that ask questions who aren't even involved with Fuentes. So the exact behavior that we have seen out of the Democratic Party and out of these anti-free speech zone colleges, these anti-colleges, supposed to be the place of, you know, open discussion, we've seen a total conversion in the last 10 years of these being abodes of no speech except for the left and Maoist. Well, they really jumped the Megalodon shark here recently. 2 days ago, the major conservative organization headed up by Michelle Malkin as one of their main spokespersons, they fired her because she gave a speech. And the big debate is, you know, should the America First group and Nick Fuentes or anybody else be allowed to ask critical questions of Charlie Kirk or any other neocon, never-Trumper derivative organization? And the answer is no. So they said that Michelle Malkin, who's married to a Jewish man and who's pro-Israel, is a Nazi. That's all over the news. She's now a Nazi because she supports Nick Fuentes, who I guess they've got one clip of somebody asking him a question on a YouTube live chat, and he reads out where they are making jokes about Cookie Monster and the fact that the gas ovens or whatever couldn't burn that many people or whatever. And the point is that whether you agree with that or disagree with that or think that's somebody's sick humor, I don't like it, but I get he was reading off the chat. That isn't the issue here. They always change the subject and go, well, if somebody's offended, it's hate speech, and now it goes away. Well, there goes the entire First Amendment. So this giant controversy's exploded. It's all over the news. It was the, you know, one of the top stories on Drudge yesterday, Fuentes rising. And so I thought we should talk about this because, you know, I've been deplatformed, and they've done it using a bunch of lies. And then once that precedent's set, they expand on to others. And they've said in the news that I'm an unalloyed racist. That's Tom Brokaw saying that. You know, they've said that I'm an anti-Semite. Now, they don't have me making jokes about the Holocaust and Cookie Monster, which I think is very distasteful, and I don't agree with. Fuentes has his reasons for that. It doesn't matter. I'm now being demonized for even giving him this platform to respond. Well, you know, everybody tries to keep me from having platforms as well. And I'm sick of that. I'm tired of being accused of stuff. And then I can't anywhere on mainline, you know, internet or in those publications or TV shows respond. Thank God I happen to have my own platform with millions of readers and viewers every day, thanks to you, the listeners. And that's why InfoWars is the model of what they hate. But enough about that. It's my real pet peeve. There's new footage of the group that Michelle Malkin got fired from calling the police on people that ask about it. That's on InfoWars.com. I mean, this is really blowing up in a bad way for Turning Point USA, which if they would have just let Fuentes have their question, it would have been an interesting argument. I mean, you know, I disagree with some of the stuff Fuentes says. He's on. We'll debate it. That's interesting. I beg all these leftists. I mean, we call every leftist that Tucker Carlson's able to get on. And I've asked Tucker, how do you do it? He goes, well, we have really good producers, and we beg them, basically. And then we explain, hey, it'll be a bigger platform for you, blah, blah, blah. More and more, they won't go on. I want people on to disagree with. Nick Fuentes, thanks for joining us. Recap, we'll get into it more in the next segment, but recap the saga up until now for folks that aren't aware of it.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me to sort of give my side of the story. So, yeah, I think you sort of eloquently put it at the beginning of this segment, that we've been going to these different Turning Point events and other Conservative Inc. type events, Charlie Kirk, Ben Shapiro, Michael Knowles, Matt Walsh, these kinds of characters. And I've been sending followers of mine, or followers of mine inspired by my show, are attending these events, and they line up in the Q&A, and they ask questions about legal immigration. They ask about foreign aid. They ask some of the tough questions from a right-wing perspective about how Turning Point and these other college organizations are not really conservative, or they're not really fulfilling the America First mandate from the 2016 election. And so we've been doing this for about 3 to 4 weeks. And as you said, the response from Conservative Inc., from Kirk and all these other characters, is to call the people asking the questions racists, bigots, homophobes, all that. Turning Point USA participated in the doxing of me. The ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, demanded that I be deplatformed from the whole internet for my inquiry, for this coordinated inquiry into Turning Point USA. And so it started out as something very innocent. It started out with legitimate grievances by college students, young Trump supporters, you know, asking how Charlie Kirk is really conservative. And as you said, now it is sort of snowballed into a much larger question about this free speech deficit that's happening on college campuses, particularly conservative college campus groups that, you know, they brand themselves and they've rose to prominence talking about free speech and anti-safe space, anti-trigger warning kind of thing. And now it looks like, as you said, they're calling the police on people for asking these questions. They had the police block me from attending an event. Caitlin Bennett got blocked by the police yesterday at a Michael Knowles event. So it's a pretty tragic thing that's happening with the conservative movement, but I think it's totally backfiring for these conservative organizations, Conservative Inc. organizations.
And by the way, we have that footage. Caitlin Bennett is a Christian. Caitlin Bennett, I believe, is pro-Israel. It's never even come up here. But exactly. I mean, even my own reporter now can't get into events because they see her as the enemy. And that's what we're witnessing is the attempt to call the entire mass of conservative Catholics, conservative Protestants, people that say, no, we don't want drag queen story time with five-year-olds. They're calling people Nazis, and that is going to blow up in their face. Because it's one thing for MSNBC to do it. But when Gorka the gay whale and all these people start doing this, they're going to have a big problem.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, it's very disturbing when somebody like Charlie Kirk, you know, he takes money from Scientologists. I don't know if you're aware of that. You might be interested in that. He takes money for his organization from Scientologists. It's very disturbing when somebody like that purports to be a Christian, purports to be a Trump supporter, purports to be a conservative. And these questions, like you said, from reporters, even people that happen to be pro-Israel, or they might be more mainline type conservatives or have more libertarian leanings, they have honest questions, you know, again, from the base of the country. And those people are smeared, slandered, called Nazis. Benny Johnson, who works for Charlie Kirk, called a Catholic supporter of mine a Westboro Baptist Church kid because he asked a question about how, you know, Charlie Kirk supporting gay marriage. And
stay
gay
right there. Nick Fuentes is our guest.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Fuentes is our guest. I'm Alex Jones. Now, I had seen a year ago some of his videos, and I knew his name a few months ago, and he was, you know, complaining that why do we have all these never-Trumpers and neocons and others now being the voice of Trump while they don't get censored, but all these other nationalists and conservatives and patriots like InfoWars are being taken off. And then he starts going to their events and asking questions, and they begin having the police there. They're throwing them out. Now they're throwing other people out. And so Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, he's getting booed out of events. He's getting booed off the street. And Don Jr. is, which I'm not happy that happened, but it shows the real anger and the feeling of betrayal by libertarians on so many fronts at Trump. And by Christian conservatives, be they Catholic, be they Protestant, be a lot of Mormons, you name it. I mean, just people across the board that are more conservative are saying, look, we love Trump, but a lot of this evil stuff is just getting worse. And we're getting persecuted for Trump, and then we never see him going on the offense against people that are clearly committing crimes. Sure, it makes the Democrats look bad, but, well, now you notice this Republican Supreme Court just voted. And I was talking to top D.C. lawyers today, and I'll just leave it at that, one in person. And they just said, no, it's a sea change. And it marks that they intend to bankrupt the gun industry and that the establishment, including Republican leadership, wants the guns gone. The fact that they just overrode that law. So this is a very serious time. And I'm glad Trump's in there. My goodness, way better than Hillary. But if Hillary was trying all of this, we would be up in arms. If she was trying all this censorship, they wouldn't have gotten away with it. And she was going to try it. The fact that Trump's in there, and he means well, still is allowing them to energize their base. And then Trump doesn't resist them in defending his base. And it's emboldened them to really engage in this crusade of persecution. You ever hear Trump call the left bullies? You ever hear them say it's wrong that they attack his supporters? You ever hear him? No, he talks about what's wrong happening to him. And I'm not trying to attack Trump here. I'm saying what Trump needs to do. And it's InfoWars. Along with just a few other platforms. You could say Drudge, definitely, as much as InfoWars, maybe more. But it's our audience that is a good half of his supporters at his rallies. And they're upset because they see what's happening. And so going back to Nick Fuentes, Nick, I'm not going to sit here and couch this in 100 different platitudes to people that are going to say Alex Jones supports white supremacist. A, I don't think you're a white supremacist. B, if you were one and people are saying you don't have a right to go to a university and stand in a line and ask a question, I mean, you could be a NAMBLA member. And I'm not saying you are. I'm not implying it. I'm saying you could be a convicted arsonist who's gotten out of prison for arson. And if you wanted to go try to speak in a public forum, that's your right. I mean, this idea that Michelle Malkin is fired from her conservative position because she said in a speech, and I went and found it and pulled it up. I forgot to give it to the crew. You guys pull that up. Michelle Malkin defends Nick Fuentes and says, you are a leader in the new right, and you have a right to speak. Well, that's a fact. So for stating 2 + 2 = 4, they fired her, and I guess every few hours there's new aftermath. Tell us about what's been unfolding.
Right. So she gave a speech last week at UCLA, which you've shown, and she said something very mild. You know, as you said, it's completely factual. You know, she said that I'm a rising leader in the new right. And she said that I am the mouthpiece or somebody who's voicing the concerns, legitimate grievances of young Trump supporters and Christians. And as a result of that passing remark and her general support of what we've been trying to do, as you said, she's been called a white supremacist, a Holocaust denier, a Nazi, a white nationalist. And it's so interesting. Michelle Malkin is somebody who's been on the scene for a long time. She's well respected. She's the real deal when it comes to America First, Christianity, conservatism, and all the rest.
She's been around 25 years. She's been around as long as I have.
Exactly, exactly. She's been with America First from the beginning, right? And it's so interesting to see how all these conservatives turn on a dime. The moment that she gives a little bit of cover to somebody who's not approved, somebody who's not a part of the beltway system, not a part of the establishment, suddenly everybody turns on a dime. And they call her the worst names, Nazi, Holocaust denier. I'm sure these people know her personally. These people know she doesn't support that. These people know she's not a white supremacist. But they want her to disavow me. They want her to, you know, do this very sort of symbolic genuflection towards conservative ink and say, yes, I submit and I acknowledge that you're in control and you get to decide who's in the system and who's outside the system, you know, who's approved and who isn't. And so I think that's what it's really about, is it's about control over the conversation, the contents of the conversation, and who gets to participate in it. So I think that, you know, they are exposing themselves as maybe worse than the left. They are left of the left when it comes to this. The SPLC, the ADL, they are not even as hardcore on people like me or Michelle Malkin as people like David French and the National Review are being this week. So I think it's absolutely disgusting what they're doing to her.
Now, let me raise this here, because I'm not a cult member. I supported Trump day one. I thought people in pop culture were pretty annoying. I don't like casinos. I thought The Apprentice was pretty silly. But then I got to know a lot of people that have been on The Apprentice, like Jesse James, and he said, no, Trump's a patriot. He knows about the New World Order. He doesn't like it. You know, I stayed at his house a lot. They're good buddies. And I used to live next door to Jesse James. I'm good friends with him. What you hear about Jesse James in the news is not true. He's a big Christian and not a devil worshiper, not a Nazi. You know, any of that stuff you heard, none of that's true either. But then he said, watch, he's going to run. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. And then he did run, and then I supported him early on, and he did win. My issue with people like Shapiro and others is they want you to forget about all the things he said about Trump and his supporters. And now he wants to be the consummate Trump supporter. And then he wants to wall off and block everybody that was an original supporter and act like we don't have a seat at the table. That's just despicable. And it's very arrogant.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what's happening. They're completely co-opting the Trump administration, because when it mattered, when it counted, when it was actually difficult to back Trump, you know, as you said, the people that supported him from the beginning, and I was supporting him, you know, in March or April 2016, Ben Shapiro was saying that he would never vote for Donald Trump. Employees of Ben Shapiro said they would vote for people that would deport Trump supporters. You know, a lot of these high profile neocons would say things like, immigrants are actually more American than these, you know, white working class Trump supporters. And you're right. You know, now that it's 2019 and the tides have turned and Donald Trump is the most popular Republican president in history, now they want to say that, oh, they were Trump supporters all along. They want to make it about themselves. They've completely, and I think to some degree of success, co-opted everything that Donald Trump did in 2016. And I think that's why you're seeing some of the priorities in the administration shift from Donald Trump during the campaign. You know, I see a lot
that's
of this
very dangerous.
I want
to talk about that next segment and get into Caitlin Bennett being confronted by these very groups today in the article on Infowars.com. And poor Caitlin's nothing but a sweetheart. She doesn't deserve this from these neocon organizations that are so scared they want to push us out of the campaign way ahead of it. So I'll be at the DNC. I'll be at the RNC more than ever now because they're trying this type of crap. But let's be fair here, Nick, and people can change their mind. Or maybe you can tell us what happened with this clip. I believe this clip is from back during Trump's run. Here's what you had to say about Trump.
And having people of, by, and for the people they were intended to represent. Now, having said that, Donald Trump has served his function. His time is over. It's time for serious candidates. Let the adults talk, Donald. We don't need the exclamatory phrases, the borderline racist remarks. Now we need real candidates.
Now, is that you at like 18 years old? You're 21 now? Because people say things that are wrong. I say things that are wrong all the time. Is that you trying to be a baby Shapiro?
That was me when I was 17 years old. That was in high school. That was November 2015. And I very quickly came around to support Donald Trump before the primaries even began. Primaries began on February 1st, 2016, so a couple of months later. I would say that I should be given a pass. You know, I was in high school. I was young, naive. I was a libertarian. And there were a lot of people who didn't support Trump right out of the gate. You know, I think at that time his support was maybe around something like 15 or 20% in the polls. And I think he proved himself to be a viable and legitimate candidate. As you said, you know, he was a, you know, TV star, casino sort of a guy. I think a lot of people right out of the gate said, oh, is this even a serious run for president? You know, if you notice in that clip, I didn't make any substantive claims about what he says or his platform, anything like that. I said, well, it just doesn't seem like.
Hey, you were 17. I just thought we'd get that clip out there and get your take on it. You didn't work hard to keep Trump from getting elected. In fact, you did work for it. Joseph Watson is coming up in the next hour. He'll take over. I'm into that first little segment. Nick Fuentes is our guest. The attempt to intimidate Michelle Malkin and get her fired from her job because she's a Nazi now, because she supports free speech in America, is very, very dangerous. You know, I had a big run-in with Michelle Malkin. There was a video of Marines throwing a baby dog, off of a cliff. And I support the military. I support the Marines, even when they're sent in on illegal wars. I'm a big supporter of the military. I support the VA. I've pushed hard for that. But I covered it, and she said I put a fake video out with an electronic dog. And so I ran into her in Denver during the DNC in 2008. I guess that was 2007 then. And I got in her face, and her big bodyguard ran his elbow into me. And man, I elbowed that guy in the stomach, and he just started crying. I was like, dude, just because you're 6'7" or something doesn't mean I won't climb up on top of you. And the point is that I like Michelle Malkin. She'd been on the show before that, but she said I was a liar and a conspiracy theorist. And I got in her face, and her guy hit me with his elbow, so I elbowed him back in the elbow. And, you know, they basically ran for the hills. But I'm not bragging. That's just a famous story. And then she put out the disinfo story that, you know, that I was attacking her. She had attacked me. She had gotten in my face. But I don't think she should be fired. I think she should have her speech, and she's sure as hell not a Nazi. She's very pro-Israel. And you know, I'll tell you, I used to be neutral on Israel, but everybody tried to make me be anti-Israel, so I'm pro-Israel. I mean, I mean, you look at the places like Saudi Arabia won't take one refugee, supposed refugee or Palestinian, but Israel's supposed to. If Israel disappeared, you'd have the Islamics killing each other forever over it. I'm sick of it. I will not choose the side of radical Islam over Israel. And you've got most of the leftist Jews supporting the Islamic invasion and the rest of it. So this idea that the Jews are this big monolithic thing drives me crazy. But I don't even want to get into the debate because I'm tired of it. I want to promote Big Ten ideas of Americana and freedom. And what Turning Point USA and YAF and all these groups are doing is not doing that. So going back to Fuentes, let's get this out in the open. I've seen your Cookie Monster deal where you're reading what somebody has said to you in a super chat, people that don't know on YouTube, and you're talking to them, and the fans pay $3, and that's how you fund yourself, and then you read their question, and then you're talking about something about ovens and Cookie Monster and making a joke or something about the Holocaust. I don't think that's funny. But you shouldn't be deplatformed, and you shouldn't be silenced over that. So let's just get this out in the open. What is your issue on Israel, the Jews, the whole nine yards?
Sure. Well, yeah, like you said, the clip that's floating around, I talk about the Holocaust. And, you know, in that case, it's obviously very context dependent. It's clearly a joke. It's clearly tongue in cheek. I'm laughing throughout the video. And they always cut off the last 5 seconds where I say in the video, it's all ironic. It's all a joke. And that's really sort of the tone of Generation Z humor. It's very ironic.
No, I get it. It's all supposed to be just as politically incorrect as possible.
Exactly. Right. It's meant to shock. It's meant to be outrageous. But my deal on Israel and Jews in general is, well, in the case of Israel, I sort of have, like you say, a neutral position. I understand you're pro-Israel. I'm basically neutral. I see sort of this idea of Islam versus Israel as maybe a false choice. I choose America first. That's the name of my show. You know, so I don't necessarily have a problem with Israel. I don't hate Israel. I don't, you know, think about Israel every waking hour of my day. I just wish we would stop sending them money. I wish they would stop spying on us. You know, I wish that we could have a more amicable or reciprocal relationship. And that's really the long and short of it. But let me just say this.
I have been mercilessly persecuted by the Anti-Defamation League, who now says the OK sign is evil. My son is a senior in high school. One of his friends was taken to the principal for making the OK sign. That's a cult. The ADL is dangerous. And it's corrupt leftist Jews projecting Nazism onto America. So I get the backlash, but that's not Jews in general. Just because a group of leftist Jews are using persecution of Jews as a reason to go around and persecute people doesn't mean all Jews are bad. So let me ask you this question. I mean, are there good Jewish people in the world, Nick Fuentes?
Of course. And I know a lot of them, Paul Gottfried, Darren Beatty, you know, some of my best friends are Jewish. And I don't think the claim is ever that every Jewish person is up to no good or they're, you know, involved in some conspiracy. But I think, like you say, there are some nefarious actors, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, the ADL, the SPLC, and, you know, they're problematic and we can call them out. And I think that's really where it starts and ends.
I've said. The ADL came out of the Jewish mafia getting in trouble and a Jewish man kidnapping and raping and killing a little girl. And then they tried to come out and set up an organization, you know, saying that you basically can't prosecute people for that. And then using the fact that America's so open to say that Jews can then commit crimes. And I don't think Jews should get out of jail free cards. And I totally agree with that. I'm just simply saying that there are a lot of great people in every group and every organization, like Catholics. Some of the best people I know growing up are Catholic. People I've seen protesting in abortion clinics, 90% of them are Catholic. I've got a lot of friends that would wake up at 3 a.m. if my pipes burst who are Catholic, who are good people, salt of the earth. You know, my wife's Catholic. So I understand that our family are salt of the earth people. You could give them $1 million and come back 100 years later and it'd all be waiting for you. So I get that. But the Pope wants world government. The Pope has a bunch of pedophiles. His deputy Pope just got convicted. That guy's not a Pope. So I don't blame the Pope's criminal activities on Catholics.
Sure. Well, and I think there's certainly an interesting analogy there. I think where I would push back a little bit is the fact that, you know, people can criticize the Pope all day long on network television and politicians can do this and, you know, basically face no repercussions. I would say the Catholics don't really, traditional Catholics don't really wield a lot of institutional power in the same way that other groups do. And I'm not trying to be coy there. I'm just trying to be honest that, you know, I will be the first person to call out globalist influence from all kinds of institutions. Certainly, you know, I'm not a big fan of this Pope in particular. I'm a Catholic, so we have to adhere to a certain doctrine, but I'm not a fan of his politics, and the deep state is, you know, problematic. But I think the problem becomes this double standard where, you know, we can criticize all these different facets, but, you know, one seems to be somewhat off limits, or there seems to be, you know, a taboo or a sacred cow there. And I've always just said that I'll criticize every globalist.
Well, let me say this. I think the fact that there has been a taboo and a sacred cow has blown up in the left's face using Nazism and blaming people for Nazism that aren't. It's really hurt those organizations, exposing, you know, real groups. And the fact that they're banning the bro fist and everything else shows a desire for power and control by the left. And look, you're on Twitter, you're on YouTube, you're on all these platforms. And I got to tell you, I'm not comparing you to David Duke. So is he. Why do you think I've been taking off everything, but you haven't? And I'm not putting that as a litmus test. I know Gorka the gay whale wants you taken down.
Well, I think that's a good question. I frankly don't know. I really find it puzzling. And, you know, I don't want to make the case for me being deplatformed, but I'll say that, you know, maybe it's simply that I'm not on their radar yet. You know, I think the reason they deplatformed you is because you really are a threat to the system in the sense that you have a completely independent media operation that, in terms of production and in terms of scope, in terms of reach, is on par with any major network. And I think they fear somebody that is legitimately independent that has so much influence. And so I think that's why they came for you. You know, you got to realize that up until 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was reaching maybe, you know, 15, 20, 25,000 people per show if I was lucky, you know, on a good night. It's only in the last 4 weeks that I've blown up a little bit. So, you know, I could chalk it up to me maybe just not being on the radar. Perhaps my last name has something to do with it. You know, maybe Jack Dorsey finds Nick Fuentes on Twitter and they say, oh, you know, he's one of these MAGA Hispanics, you know, one of these Latinos for Trump or something.
So Fuentes is Spanish?
Yes, it is.
Listen, let's do 5 more minutes on the other side. You are a very smart guy, and that's clear. Most of these people just regurgitate talking points over and over again. And that is why they fear InfoWars. The model of this, listener-supported multimedia, was the biggest political show in world history up until the election. And then they had the secret ban, and then it expanded from there. But we were literally some days without even looking at everything, getting 20, 30, 40 million views outside of the main platform. We're talking some days 7 million people clicking on the audio streams. InfoWars, they saw it. It was the biggest thing ever. We had Super Bowl-level audiences every couple of days, and that's why. We're going to come right back with a few final questions and play this situation with other conservative groups targeting free speech and now going after our own Caitlin Bennett. I guess next they'll say she's a Nazi because she supports free speech. That's coming up with Nick Fuentes and Paul Watson. It's just a few minutes out. Please don't forget, if we get money, we can do a bunch of other stuff. I got a bunch of things subterranean being built, being set up, being prepared. Not just a redesign of InfoWars, not just all these other sites out there that, you know, we help build but that aren't ours. There's a big project, a couple big projects I've got going on. The enemy's got my phones tapped. They all know what the projects are, and they're really pissed and want to hurry up and get it shut down. I need a bunch of money, and I need it quick. I'm on a mission for God, as the Blues Brothers say. And ladies and gentlemen, InfoWarsStore.com. Get your DNA Force Plus. Amazing. Get your X2. Get the new whitening toothpaste with the Silver Sol solution in it and so much more. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. But whatever you do, your word of mouth is king. So tell folks however you're listening and keep spreading the word. Hour 4 with Nick Fuentes, Paul Watson, and more straight ahead. You know, when I say this is going to blow up in the neocons and all the candy asses' faces at Turning Point USA, firing Michelle Malkin, saying she's a Nazi, literally, and all the rest of this crap, I can't state how bad it is. And once they start secret policing and checking IDs and having big lists of people that they're going to persecute, it's going to go just downhill from there. Whoever advised these morons to do this are idiots. I want people to come to my events and to disagree with me. It's super entertaining and fun. But they're leftist. They just came in to take over the movement. That's clear. It's the exact same playbook. And if they're going to try to tar the entire liberty movement to put Trump in power as Nazis because Fuentes has said a few off-color things, and clearly he's better on his feet than somebody like Ben Shapiro, it just really scares them. But believe me, like I told Vice when Trump won, I'm just the latest wave. A bunch of more waves are coming. And Generation Z is not buying any of it. Folks, let's not, I'm not against Trump. It's a paradox, though. We love Trump, but we can't be Trump cult members. We have to be liberty lovers, Americana, Renaissance lovers, freedom lovers, Christians, and realize that we don't hang our hat on Trump. We hang our hat on real values we stand for. Nick, any other comments on that?
That's exactly right. You know, Trump got elected because he was in favor of America first. He was in favor of a wall and all the rest. And, you know, insofar as he's pursuing that, we support him. And when he falls short, then I think you're right. We have to hold him accountable and hold his feet to the fire. And, you know, that's our job with any politician. So I think that's the right mentality.
Let's get into Caitlin Bennett before you leave us. The article's on InfoWars.com. YAF members sick police on conservative activists for trying to ask Knowles a question. Let's go ahead and roll that clip.
Hi, I wanted to ask you a question. I think it was you.
We're not allowed to talk. We're not allowed to talk on behalf of YAF.
But you were the one telling, no, that's Caitlin Bennett, don't.
No, it was a misunderstanding, I promise.
Yeah, can you explain that?
It was a misunderstanding. I was just telling her that that was who you were.
Then why were you doing the, like, no?
I'm sorry, we're not allowed to talk. I'm sorry.
Why aren't you allowed to talk to me if you don't want me to ask
because
questions?
Because we don't
represent... Or you don't want me?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And why did you give that no symbol?
I can't remember doing that, but if I did, that was honestly, I promise, it was not anything about you. I was just, she didn't recognize you or know you, so I wanted to let her know that that was you.
Come on, guys.
We were wondering about
guys, come
I
on.
I really promise.
Come on. Be okay. Honest with me.
I'm sorry. I'm putting an end to this. There's
Are
police
you?
Officers right there, and I need to leave.
This is a public campus.
Now they call the police on. We'll keep rolling the video, but... These are more of these people that were that Bennett learned were actually trying to get her deplatformed. And so I guess they see her as legitimate and as real and not controlled. Because, you know, Turning Point USA tried to get Caitlin Bennett and others to work for them. And when they wouldn't, they put out fake memes that she pooped her pants and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of real nastiness going on. And she didn't want to come out and expose them. But I guess without even my direction, she's starting to expose these other similar groups. Now they call the cops on her. I mean, that's the so-called conservatives just can't wait to call the police because she tried to talk to them. They want to give speeches and want to talk about her, but don't want to talk to her. Nick, this is not going to go well.
No, not at all. And you know what's so telling about this is that they invite leftists to ask questions. They're so polite to the leftists who show up, you know, people that support abortion and socialism and all these other horrible things. But somebody like Caitlin Bennett or people, you know, who have rosaries in their hands or wearing Trump hats, they literally call the police on them to get them removed. And I think that exposes exactly what's going on, which is that they want to have a controlled conversation between the controlled globalist left and the controlled globalist right. And anybody, as you said, that is a free thinker, anybody like Caitlin or yourself or me or anybody that's not on board with this controlled conversation between two sides of the same globalist coin, well, they have to shut that down. And they have to brand those people as racists and Nazis and make sure that nobody associates with them and nobody can try and rehabilitate their image or anything like that. That's exactly what this is about. And it's totally backfiring because people see it for what it is. It's a very bad look to have police pulling people for asking questions at a so-called...
And that comes up on the video. And just how wimpy and dumb these women are compared to Caitlin Bennett. That's who wants to lead us, is all these little chicken neck weirdos and Gorka the gay whale and everything else. It's just amazing. I'm not saying Gorka's literally gay. He just has a little pocket watch and is a dandy and polished shoes and like shakes his butt, swish, swish. I mean, he looked good in a dress. Nick Fuentes, thank you. We appreciate you.
You're listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
We're live on the fourth hour of the show, and we're going to be talking about a whole host of issues in this hour. We're not going to be talking about the impeachment hearings because, as polls already show, and as Trump's approval numbers show, I looked at Trump's approval numbers before and during these impeachment proceedings were taking place, basically haven't changed whatsoever. Everybody's already bored of it, nobody's watching it, and they're even telling the New York Times that. The sin of communicating with a foreign leader as president of the United States, God forbid. Obviously, these impeachment hearings are just part of the ongoing coup against President Donald Trump to keep this fog of corruption hanging over his head as we go into 2020.
and Americans are already completely bored of the impeachment hearings headline. Up on summit.news, Americans are already bored of the impeachment hearings. And this is a New York Times article. They went out and interviewed a bunch of voters, and basically nobody cares. Nobody's watching it. Even if anyone does care, they say, I'm going to wait until it finishes before I even check into it. An article entitled, No One Believes Anything, Voters Worn Out by a Fog of Political News. The New York Times talked to Americans about how they viewed the spectacle, and they didn't come across as very enthusiastic. It says in upstate New York, Travis Trudell got an alert on his phone Wednesday morning telling him that the impeachment hearings had started. He turned on Disney Plus instead. That's another way, by the way, that Apple and these other companies try and manipulate people, drive them towards certain narratives. They flash up a breaking news story on your phone and you don't really care about it. You haven't even opted into that, but they do it anyway. But this individual in New York got an alert on his phone basically telling him to watch the impeachment hearings. He decided to watch Disney's new streaming service instead, not interested. A resident of Wisconsin, Jeray Corrigan, said she had, quote, never considered watching the hearings. Never even considered it, despite a wall of mainstream media attention, despite Apple telling people to watch it. She never even considered watching it. Meanwhile, in Idaho, computer programmer Russell Memory, quite the appropriate name, said he would, quote, catch up in a few weeks when the hearings were over. So he hasn't got any interest in watching it. He said the media's relentless anti-Trump narrative has created a kind of orange man bad fatigue amongst voters. Again, everybody's lost in this miasma of not trusting the media, being distracted by all these different news issues. Everyone's got a different set of facts. No one can agree on any set of facts. So Americans across the board, across the partisan divide, are simply turning off. He said it's harder now. They want to grab you with those headlines. Trump did this, Trump did that. You have to go in and really research it. And I don't think a lot of people do that. The responses indicate that Americans are aware of the overwhelmingly likely outcome that Trump will not be impeached. Of course, the Senate is not going to vote for it. And that the hearings are just another attempt to keep Democrats, by Democrats, to keep a cloud hovering over the president as we get closer to 2020. Nobody's watching the impeachment hearings. Nobody really cares. Everyone realizes it's a partisan witch hunt. And it's basically trying to decry, demonize Trump simply for talking to foreign leaders, what they've done from the very beginning. There's an article out of WAMU. This is very interesting. I just wrote an article on this about 20 minutes ago. Headline, Democrats are so politically intolerant, they even refuse to date other Democrats. This is how bad it's got. Of course, we had Bill Maher on his show last week coming out and saying that the partisan bickering in America is so bad that it's breaking down divides of Americans to such a degree that there could be civil war if that rhetoric is not toned down. He said, quote, home is where you learn that the three magic words in any relationship aren't I love you, they're let it go. We're going to have to learn to live with each other or else there will be blood. And for leftists, for Democrats, they can't seem to let anything go, even to the point where they refuse to form romantic bonds with anyone who doesn't support their chosen presidential candidate. So now it's not just about hating on Trump supporters. Of course, we've had stories down the years, the past couple of years, about husbands and wives, mainly from the female side, breaking up with their partners, with their spouses because of their support for President Donald Trump. That was stage one. Now it's so bad that they refuse to even go on dates with other Democrats. The article is entitled Dating a Democrat, How 2020's Presidential Election Has Altered Romance in D.C. And we learn that some Dems are insisting in their dating profile bios that their would-be partner share basically their every political view. So they talked to a bunch of people who'd used dating apps and websites in recent months in Washington, D.C. And this is what they found out. 29-year-old Elizabeth Warren supporter, and there seems to be a definite split between or a definite level of intolerance exhibited by Elizabeth Warren supporters. Sam Rick told WAMU that although she might occasionally go on a date with a Bernie Sanders supporter, 9 times out of 10, it turns into a very big argument. So the Elizabeth Warren supporters can't even get on with the Bernie Sanders supporters anymore, to the point of not having a day end up in a giant row. That's how bad the partisan divide is. She said, I've been on dates where by the end of the night, it's completely ruined. I know where it's going to go. Best to just avoid it. And this is similar to the social credit scoring system in China, whereby people who hold certain political opinions, maybe people who've transgressed, crossed the road on a red light, for example, aren't even being allowed to have accounts on dating websites. So maybe that's the next step. In fact, I think there was a story a few months ago about a dating website just for conservatives or just for Trump supporters that basically got shut down amidst a wave of demonization and memes. Now, Democrats don't even want to date other Democrats. That's how bad it's got. She also said, this Elizabeth Warren supporter in D.C., if she finds out a potential date supports Joe Biden, it's, quote, an immediate swipe left. So they won't even swipe right on fellow Democrats anymore. Another woman called Hannah revealed that a guy pretty much broke up with me to go to work for the Beto O'Rourke campaign because she didn't support Beto. Probably good to have learned that information well in advance if somebody's that picky that they will dump you to go to work for a failing presidential candidate who barely got beyond, what, 1% of the vote before quitting the race. Another lady called Paige revealed that a man she was on a date with feared she would, quote, stand up and walk out because he said he was, God forbid, a, quote, moderate. Another Elizabeth Warren supporter, a woman called Serena, revealed that she was more wary of dates who supported Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Buttigieg, and that this counted as, quote, a point against them. Imagine if they found out their date was a Trump supporter, all hell would break loose. So it's now got to the point where Democrats are so angered by everything. I think there was a recent study which proved that Democrats are basically angered by everything now. The Trump derangement syndrome has reached such heights that they're so angry so much of the time that even if somebody diverges from them slightly on any policy, and in fact, there was another example in this article of somebody who had a slightly different opinion on Medicaid, and they just upped and left the restaurant. Now they refuse to even date other Democrats. Meanwhile, South Dakota spends nearly $500,000 on anti-meth ad campaign with tagline, meth, we're on it. Weird flex, but okay. And this is not a satirical article. This is not out of The Onion. They even featured a video of the governor, Kristi Noem, telling the camera, quote, I'm on meth, before she explains that on it means on the case of meth. They literally paid an advertising company nearly $500,000 to come up with this tagline, taxpayer money, which compares to $1 million, which was set aside for actual meth treatment. So they spent almost half the amount coming up with this ridiculous tagline, meth, I'm on it, being completely lampooned. And obviously that campaign is going to completely fail. We're going to be back in the next segment with news about Prince Andrew. Also going to talk about demographics as it relates to the upcoming election in the United Kingdom. Summit.news.
You're listening to Summit.News with Paul Joseph Watson. How you like me now?
How you like me now? We're live, and the fallout from the Prince Andrew interview on the BBC continues. In case you didn't see it, basically it was an hour-long denial, charges the allegations against him that he basically was supplied with underage sex-trafficked girls by Jeffrey Epstein's network. Throughout the interview, he denied every charge while blinking 10 times in 10 seconds in one instance when he was asked directly whether he slept with one of these girls when she was a minor underage. But apparently, what's more shocking than him allegedly having had sex with an underage girl that had been sex trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein's network is the claim that he may have said the N-word several years ago during a private conversation. That's more shocking, apparently, according to many respondents to this article today, which is out the Telegraph. Prince Andrew made racist comment about Arabs, ex-Home Secretary says. The Duke, has been dragged into a fresh racism row after the former Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, said she was left slack-jawed by a comment he allegedly made about Arabs. On Monday, a former top policy aide on technology to David Cameron, Rowan Silver, claimed Prince Andrew used the phrase N-word in the woodpile during a meeting at Buckingham Palace 7 years ago. Again, they're not going to be able to prove that. It's just one claim that is now being treated as more shocking than the actual allegation that he engaged in sex with an underage minor, sex trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. Mrs. Smith, who now hosts a podcast, during recording said, "I met him, Prince Andrew, several times, including once at a state banquet, where after dinner, I and my husband and another Labour cabinet minister had a drink with him, and I have to say the conversation left us slack-jawed with the things he felt it was appropriate to say." Well, if you've read the things that Prince Philip has said down the years, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, so it's no big surprise. But the bigger fallout is that five big names have now cut ties with Prince Andrew. Standard Chartered and others have pulled backing for the Royal's main charity following his car crash interview, and now four different universities are considering ditching him. So, of course, one of his big defences during this car crash interview, which basically every PR person has said was a complete disaster and he should have never have done it. In fact, I think his PR aide quit 2 weeks beforehand, said he shouldn't have done it. He did it anyway. He tries to come out with this defense that he works with charities that aid children. We always see that. Of course, he claims he was at Pizza Express, emphasis on the word pizza, during the night that he allegedly danced with and then later had sex with this underage minor. Of course, we had the big story out yesterday, which was linked up on the Drudge Report, about how he claimed during the interview, Prince Andrew, that her claim that he was sweating profusely when he was dancing with her in this nightclub could not have been true because he suffered from a medical condition that prevented him from sweating. Unfortunately for the Duke of York, people then immediately unearthed photos from the same time during the same years where he was seen indeed sweating profusely. Well, now Advertising Week Europe, which has supported the Pitch at Palace project, which is Prince Andrew's project, was hailed as an official supporter by the Prince, is the latest company to pull its backing for the beleaguered Duke. Bosses will not be inviting Andrew or his team to its four-day summit in London, one of the world's largest gatherings of advertising execs and experts, being held in the capital next March. So he's basically now being kind of deplatformed by all these different organizations. Now out of the BBC, new Jeffrey Epstein accuser calls on Prince Andrew to talk. Of course, he's probably not going to do that. He said during the interview that he maybe would if he took legal advice. It's obviously not going to happen. He doesn't want to impugn himself any further. But a woman has come forward to accuse the disgraced late financier Jeffrey Epstein of sexually abusing her as a 15-year-old and urged Prince Andrew to share information on his former friend. The accuser, known as Jane Doe 15, told reporters she had suffered a vicious, prolonged sexual assault. Now she's calling on Prince Andrew to speak out against it. That is not going to happen, given the car crash nature of his BBC interview. Meanwhile, The Express reports, Prince Andrew interview Duke's Pizza Express claim questioned by security expert. Security expert Tom, who called into James O'Brien's LBC show to share why Prince Andrew might be able to demonstrate if his Pizza Express story was true or not. So he basically makes the point that the royal family has this security detail where it's recorded where they are at all times, and that will be in the history, that will be in the logbooks, so they'll be able to claim whether he did visit that Pizza Express in Woking, England, on the night that this alleged sexual liaison happened. The security expert speculated Prince Andrew is one of the principal members of the royal family. He's got close protection records which go back. The close protection records for the royal family are precise down to which building they are in, because he'll have 24-hour protection for where he is at all times. If he wanted to be able to demonstrate where he was that night, then he'll be able to. So they've actually got the records. It remains to be seen if they're going to be dug out. I would venture probably not. Meanwhile, sticking with the UK, where we've got an election coming up next month on December 12th, the third election within the space of 4 years, 320 bleed control kits to be given to bars in London. the knife crime epidemic, the violent crime epidemic, continues to skyrocket. Meanwhile, police are being tasked with arresting mothers in their own kitchens for saying that men are men. Meanwhile, police resources are being diverted to all manner of ludicrous things. Meanwhile, police are saying that they're not going to be able to attend burglaries and other low-level crimes. Knife crime in the city of London, which, by the way, is like a one-square-mile area right in the center of the financial district. That's not the whole city of London. It's a small area, which is very touristy, very business-like. It's noted as one of the safest areas in London. But in that area of London alone, knife crime jumped 43% over the last year. And during the same time, England as a whole saw a record high of 43,000 knife crimes across the country. Well, now they're giving out bleed control kits to bars, pubs, nightclubs in the city of London in that one square mile zone. The kits will be handed out by City of London Police at a cost of £25,000. Authorities said they were proud to launch the initiative, with David Laws, Chief Superintendent of the City of London Police, telling Sky News the decision was a no-brainer. He said, "This is a really, really simple piece of kit, which can make a big difference, particularly with the most catastrophic bleeds. If you don't get help in the first few minutes, the person will almost certainly die." Notice that these bleed control kits are not really a big necessity in cities like Budapest and Warsaw, where I just visited last week. I wonder why that is. Is it related to the fact that we have a growing migrant population in London, people coming from places, especially in North Africa, where their gang warfare, their turf warfare is significantly more violent than what we've been used to in the UK in recent years? And our own homegrown violent gangs are having to step up their levels of violence just to compete with these new gang leaders that are coming in via the migrant wave. Again, we've got massive violent crime soaring. We've got police departments putting out tweets where they literally go and collect spoons and spanners and tools and brag about it on Twitter as if they're keeping everybody safe. Meanwhile, hundreds of these bleed kits are having to be handed out to bars, clubs and nightclubs in one tiny, well-to-do area of London alone, just to cope with this soaring 43% rise in knife crime. Absolutely incredible. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
We're live and we're going to get back into some more news from Europe. But first, I want to draw your attention to Black Friday sales specials, which have already arrived at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got up to 70% off all your favorite products. We've got free shipping. We've got double Patriot points on a whole bunch of products, including back in stock DNA Force, 50% off right now, InfoWarsStore.com. We've got the Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste, 25% off. Again, Christmas is coming up. What are you going to do? Probably going to buy a bunch of tat, which nobody wants and either re-gifts or just throws away immediately. So why not support us and also get some great products which will help people in their lives? InfoWarsStore.com, where we have the Alexa Pure Breeze now available for just shy of $200 for all your water filter needs. We've got Vitamin Mineral Fusion. Again, massive five-star reviews across the board on all great products at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got a bunch of great new T-shirts. Roger Stone Did Nothing Wrong T-shirt. Trump Is Innocent T-shirt available for low, low prices as part of this special. Christmas lights are a lot like Epstein. They don't hang themselves. Now, that's a perfect gift for Christmas for your loved one. It's available right now. That shirt, $24.95, as part of the Black Friday sale special at InfoWarsStore.com. Please go there and support this broadcast today. Now, over in Europe, I just returned from Hungary, and now Viktor Orban has come out with another great speech on the future of Europe. He says, "Western Europe is finished. Central Europe is the future." This was a speech in memory of the 1989 Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia, which saw the end of communist rule, of course. He said, quote, "30 years ago, we thought that Europe was our future, but today we think we are Europe's future, and we are ready for this mission." He warned that globalists in Western Europe are currently in the process of wiping out a European society based on nation states and Christian culture, and that Central European countries are standing up to this. God forbid they stand up for basic Christian heritage in their own countries and refuse to import millions of people who don't really stand for those values. He said, we want to live as free nations, not as provinces or subordinates to empire. He said, we are Central European Democrats, therefore we must defend the sovereignty of nation states, because if we abandon it, it will mean the end of democracy. Of course, Orbán's currently conducting an interesting program in Hungary, trying to rebuild their population by offering 30,600 euros to Hungarian citizens, married couples who have three or more children. The question is, would some people try to abuse that loan? Yes, they would, but not with the provisions included. Because when a married couple receives the 30,000 euros as a loan from the government, upon getting married, that's when they can apply for it. In fact, I spoke to a couple who did exactly that in Hungary, and they were big fans of this. You have to repay the loan until you have the three children, at which point the loan is completely forgiven. So that is the incentive for them to have the kids, and that prevents it from being abused. And since Orbán really took power in Hungary, just look at the impact in terms of pro-family policies in that country. We've got the stats here in this article. Abortion in Hungary from 2010 to 2017 dropped from 40,000 abortions to 28,000 abortions. That's huge. Divorces fell from 23,000 to 18,000. And marriages increased by a whopping 42% across Hungary. So those pro-family policies are having a real bite, a real impact in that country. Unlike in Sweden, which has gone the opposite way, finally the media is now admitting that the wave of grenade attacks, explosions, knife crime, shootings, burglaries, robbings is through the roof basically and completely unprecedented. For the past 3 years, they denied it was a problem. Well, now left-wing journalist on Sweden's migrant suburb says, quote, everyone knew it would end in disaster. But they all pushed it anyway because they were busy importing a whole new voting bloc. A left-wing journalist in Sweden, who vehemently supported mass immigration, has changed her tune. By the way, remember we had the article where all the left-wing politicians and activists in Sweden who had pushed mass immigration weren't living in the areas of Sweden where mass immigration was taking place. They're complete hypocrites. They don't want to be anywhere near it. The consequences are borne by the local populations there. Well, now this left-wing Swedish journalist, Aftonbladet's Lena Mellin, acknowledges that Sweden's attempt to integrate huge numbers of migrants from Africa and the Middle East has failed. This is the same thing that Trump was attacked for back in 2017 with his famous last night in Sweden quote. She said all parties, with the possible exception of the Left Party and the Sweden Democrats, who, of course, are the right-wing populist party, who hardly affected the reality on this point, should be ashamed. She says politicians have largely neglected the development in some of our suburbs, despite the fact that everyone knew it would end in disaster. And, of course, she's now being attacked because she supported that very policy. Ted Ekeroth tweeted, incredible, Lena Mellin, of all journalists, one of the foremost advocates for mass immigration and multiculturalism, one of the worst Sweden Democrat haters, claims that one has known for years that it would go to hell. And of course, the Sweden Democrats are now the most popular party in Sweden. We'd hope that they'd do well in the election. They got around, I think it was 17.5% of the vote. The recent polls show that they are, in fact, the most popular party. Unfortunately, that's happened right after the election. It may be too little too late for Sweden, given that the authorities in Swedish cities like Malmo are responding to this explosion of gang violence, which is mainly migrant on migrant gang violence, by in one case inviting local gang leaders for pizza just for a friendly chat. I mean, they didn't arrest any of them. They didn't prosecute any of them. They didn't try to get them to rat out any of their criminal enterprise. They just had a nice friendly chat over pizza. That's what they're funding in Sweden. They're also funding $175,000 to drag queen storytime events where men dressed as women read and perform to children. Now, the money from inheritance, which has got nobody to pass on to when Swedes die, they've got no family member to pass on their inheritance. The government took that money and is using it to fund drag queen storytime, as part of their new progressive utopia. Meanwhile, ISIS leader accused of killing women and children arrived in Europe as a refugee. This guy was caught in Budapest, Hungary. An alleged ISIS leader who is accused of beheading an imam and killing women and children was given refugee status after he entered Europe, it has been revealed. We've had the articles before where literally the Paris massacre terrorists bragged about how they were able to infiltrate jihadists into Europe as part of this migrant wave. 20-year-old F. Hassan joined ISIS in 2014 after deserting the Syrian army. He then recruited other jihadists to go door-to-door and kill dozens of people near the city of Homs in Syria in 2015. Those victims included 6 women and a child who were all knifed or gunned down. They then rounded up the other residents in that area and forced them to gather at the town's main square where they witnessed Hassan and other militants carry out the brutal beheading of the local imam. And then afterwards, he was kindly invited to enter Europe as a asylum-seeking refugee before being caught in Hungary. Mr. Hassan had obtained refugee status in Greece before being apprehended in December at Budapest Ferencváros International Airport, where he and a female companion were found to have forged personal IDs. Again, we had the article, which I linked to in this article, from back in 2015, where ISIS, in their own manifesto, in their own propaganda, bragged about how they had exploited the refugee program to send jihadist sleeper cells to Europe since 2012. Of course, we had massive attacks in France in the years following that and in other countries, with the goal of creating Muslim no-go zones in Western cities, which again have caused huge problems in terms of rape, in terms of violent crime, and can be used as a base from which to launch further attacks. Now even left-wing Swedes are admitting that that's what happened. And this assertion was repeated a year later when an ISIS commander said, quote, "We have sent many operatives to Europe with the refugees. Some of our brothers have fulfilled their mission, but others are still waiting to be activated." This has been going on since 2012, and we've seen the consequences. Hashtag refugees welcome. We'll be back. Summit.news. Don't go away.
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.news.
Well, we've been talking about the demographic issue as it pertains to America, with the New York Times and other mainstream left-wing publications admitting that it is swinging entire elections now in America. They can say that and it's a good thing. That's perfectly fine. If you say it might be a negative thing if you support conservative candidates, then you're a horrible racist white supremacist. Over in Europe, we have this story out of Breitbart. Pew, Europe hosting at least 3.9 million illegal immigrants. That seems like a very low number to me. But according to Pew, somewhere between 3.9 and 4.8 million illegal immigrants are residing in Europe. I think we have 1 million alone in the UK, so that number seems very low. And then we have this situation. We've got a general election coming up in the new UK next month. It's that of Politicalite. Holy Vote, mosques urge voting as Muslims predicted to swing 31 seats across Britain. Generally speaking, they vote for left-wing parties, not that the Conservative Party is right-wing in any way anymore, but mosques across Britain are taking part in the UK's biggest ever National Muslim Voter Registration Day on Friday, 22nd of November, encouraging worshippers to get out and vote as it's revealed that Muslim voters could swing 31 seats in the general election. This is the Muslim Council of Britain, which represents British Muslims, claiming that votes by Muslims could affect 31 constituencies and swing the result. And this is not just in London from reading the list. Actually, it's in a lot of northern areas and other areas of the UK. So once again, proving mass immigration is about importing huge voting blocks of people who typically vote for left-wing parties. And that's why the left pushes it at every available opportunity. Meanwhile, in America, land of the free, home of the brave, New Hampshire town removes Christmas from its Christmas ceremony after 2 people complain about being offended. This is the cave culture in evidence once again, because we had Chick-fil-A basically cave yesterday. Now a town in New Hampshire, Durham, announced it was removing several Christmassy elements from its annual holiday celebration because 2 people complained about being offended. Yes, 2 people. So the town's Christmas ceremony was called the annual tree lighting ceremony. That was horrifically offensive. That had to go. So it will undergo changes in an effort to remove religious overtones. It wasn't even that religious to begin with. The event will be renamed Frostfest, while the formal tree lighting ceremony itself will be abolished. We can't have that because two people were offended. And Santa will not arrive in a town fire truck as he has in the past. God knows why that would offend anybody, but apparently it does offend two people. Christmas wreaths that were placed on lampposts on Main Street will also be absent. We can't have anyone being triggered by those hateful Christmas wreaths. According to Councillor Sally Tobias, the changes were made after one person said that he had always had a problem with the Christmas tree. Tobias said there were a couple of people that did express some concerns about how they felt being included. Again, two people were offended. So in other words, because two weak-minded idiots complained about being offended, the town voted to take Christmas out of its Christmas celebrations, undoubtedly angering the vast majority of residents who, of course, were not asked about any of this. The decision was just made because two people complained. Rabbi Barel Slavaki said, to stop cultures and faiths from practicing publicly would be very un-American. I think that's the beauty of our country. He was refused when he asked the town to display a menorah during the 8 days of Hanukkah last year. That's hateful. And it must be abolished. So because two people complained, now Durham, New Hampshire's Christmas celebration basically no longer includes Christmas. Meanwhile, in Hong Kong, Polytechnic University protesters still inside as standoff continues. Up to 200 anti-government protesters remain barricaded inside a Hong Kong university, surrounded by police as the standoff continues for a third day. They're basically having to escape through sewers to try and get out. If they're adults, I think over the age of 18, they immediately get arrested, disappeared to God knows where. If they're minors, they get sent home. Police have revealed that on Monday alone at the campus, they used 1,458 tear gas canisters, 1,391 rubber bullets. This is in a university. 325 beanbag rounds, 265 sponge bullets. Again, these people are protesting not just for their political freedom, as Beijing increasingly imposes its authoritarian dictatorship on Hong Kong. They're protesting against the smart cities, against the social credit score. And what most people don't know is that they're protesting against mass migration. That's a narrative that you will not see in the mainstream media when it comes to Hong Kong. Because, of course, I went there a couple of months ago, talked to a lot of the protesters, and they said, we have major problems with our culture being subsumed by migrants from China, from the mainland, because they bring in their culture, they don't assimilate, they don't integrate, and they immediately get welfare, citizenship, and benefits. They don't even have to go through a process of living there for a certain amount of time. And they've got massive problems with Chinese people imposing their culture, which is quite different from the more westernized culture in Hong Kong. So now literally barricaded inside a university. We've heard rumors again of Beijing sending in troops. We know they had a big rotation, which wasn't a rotation at all. It was actually to get more troops into the area of Hong Kong. And the crackdown, the rumor of a potential crackdown, continues to grow. We're going to leave it there, though. We've got a big ad for DNA Force now. Support InfoWars by getting the specials at InfoWarsStore.com. War Room is coming up, but here's a special message about DNA Force.
During the last segment, I was going to come in and do a plug, and I was going to cut an ad out of it to post on the website. And I didn't really direct the crew that I'd want a close shot when I did that, because we had a wide shot. We'll go to a wide shot right now, please. And so I thought, you know, I'll just apologize to Savannah Hernandez for being rude to her and doing that, because I didn't tell her I was going to do that that way. And it's my fault, so I shouldn't get grumpy. And this is footage of what just happened during the break. Here it is.
Look, I'm telling you, man, the stress is getting to Savannah. She's really worried about the president. She's worried about all things that are happening. We've got to be cool. She's producing all these shows. And I'm telling you, last time I got a little bit, you know,
I warned you not to talk back to her. She gets mad.
Well, anyways, I'm just going to apologize to her. There she is. Oh, no. Hi, Savannah.
I'm stopping mean to people.
Oh.
Now, I have literally been racking my brain thinking about how do we fund ourselves into the future and how do we ensure that we can expand, not just stay the same size in 2020 and really give the globalists a run for their money like we did last time. And it really hit me about 2 weeks ago. DNA Force Plus, with PQQ and CoQ10 and so many other things that are designed to clean out your cells like nothing else can do and actually grow more mitochondria in the cells, the engines that drive them that make the telomeres last longer. So I said, I'm going to cut new ads about it. I haven't done that in years. And I went and re-researched PQQ, CoQ10, and the other ingredients. And I was like, my gosh, I'd forgotten how incredible. The type of CoQ10 we have in major studies has been known to regrow heart tissue that died normally in a heart attack, doesn't come back, doesn't operate. It's known to CoQ10 to, again, make the telomeres last longer. They don't make them grow, it makes them last longer, which is the same thing, just a different way. So if you get your CoQ10 and other high-quality products from InfoWarsStore.com, the CoQ10, the PQQ, with the astragalus root and the other ingredients that supercharge it, it'll fund an operation, and it's something you should all be taking. No matter how old you are, this is how you counteract the bad stuff with the environment. It's 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com and free shipping. I want you to take the challenge for everybody watching to get it when you try it, when you love it. Get it again. It takes a few weeks to kick in, but it's amazing what people experience.
Get your DNA Force today, or Savannah will slap the sh- out of Alex Jones.
Stop being mean to people.
Pick up a bottle of DNA Force today at InfoWarsStore.com.
And it's time for humanity to stand up in the InfoWar and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.